The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday. It is February 4th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the Archdiocese of Philadelphia has placed one of its priests on administrative leave over an allegation that he sexually abused a minor in the 1970s. Last month, the diocese says it was made aware of the allegation against 71-year-old Reverend Stephen J. Marinucci. This is the first accusation against the priest. As a result, Marinucci was placed on administrative leave and is not allowed to perform his duties at St. Matthew Parish in Mayfair, where he serves. Marinucci has denied the allegation. The Archdiocese says law enforcement has been notified and is investigating. Five people died and two others were injured after a small plane crash apparently came apart, raining debris across a Southern California neighborhood and igniting a house fire before landing in a backyard, authorities said Sunday.
Yeah, horrible.
The male pilot, who was the only person in the twin-engine plane and four people in the house that caught fire, died Sunday, the Orange County Sheriff said at a news conference Sunday night. The deceased occupants of the home were two males and two females. No other information was given. The Cessna 414A took off from the Fullerton Municipal Airport about a dozen miles west of the blaze. A two-story house burst into flames after being struck by the main cabin and one engine of the plane, sending panicked neighbors into the streets. And then the second engine dislodged and fell onto the street, creating a large hole in the asphalt. They said debris was scattered over about four blocks of the neighborhood.
So you're not even in the plane. You're just sitting in your house.
Sitting in your house. Yeah. And you die. Yeah. I mean, people said it was, you know, what you would imagine. People were running out of their house yelling, and there was debris in the roadway, and one of the house just engulfed in flames. Rain from a winter storm helped firefighters extinguish the house fire. The National Transportation and Safety Board will investigate the cause of the fire.
For a split second this morning when I saw this story, I thought that it might have happened near us. Yesterday, my boys and I were driving through our neighborhood, and we saw a Cessna bizarrely low to the ground flying over our neighborhood.
Really?
And so much so, and I live in a golf course community, and I thought, is this guy running out of fuel and he's going to land on the golf course? It happens from time to time. We pulled a U-turn, came back around to see, because he was flying right over one of the holes, and he had since gone back up once we went over there. But I mean, literally just a couple hundred feet off the ground, and it freaked us out a little bit. And when I first woke up, I'm like, did I miss that yesterday? That plane crashed? But it was bizarre to hear. But we were thinking about that very thing. We were talking about it. What if it did land and hit a house? And sure enough, one happens the next day. And
California.
Consequences
right there,
are horrible.
It's funny you should mention that, Preston, because when I was like 13 or 14 years old, and I swear to God, I was out in my backyard raking leaves, and I heard a Cessna engine. And I remember looking up, and the plane, it was a goddamn Cessna. It was down super low, low enough that when it passed over the house, the leaves blew up that I was raking. And I, you know, it's like, it was low. It seemed to me this guy was just at the last second able to pull out of a descent. But it was one of those things where, they're flying over residential all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's scary. Mm-hmm. Eagles defensive end Chris Long was awarded one of the highest honors available in pro football players, the 2018 NFL Walter Payton Man of the Year. The annual award is given to a player for outstanding community service off the field as well as excellence on the field. The Chris Long Foundation receives a $250,000 donation from the NFL's Charity Foundation, and another $250,000 will be donated in Long's name to the United Way. In 2018, Long created the First Quarter for Literacy program, which provides low-income Philadelphia families and families nationwide with books, literacy resources, and mentoring services.
Here you have a guy that has all this going for him, but he's got to look that way. It's like, you're sorry, that's the one trade-off, is that you have to be physically perfect.
His Water Boys initiative unites professional athletes and fans to raise funds and awareness to provide clean drinking water to poverty-stricken communities in East Africa. As part of Water Boys, Long and former Green Beret Nate Boyer started an annual climb up Mount Kilimanjaro known as Conquering Kili.
They're trying currently to get Bo Allen to climb Kilimanjaro.
Oh, really?
Well, according to Twitter yesterday, he's officially signed up.
Wow. Is he?
They raised $15,000 on a GoFundMe or some type of Kickstarter campaign, and Bo Allen will now be a part of this campaign as well, and
he'll
climb. Yeah, with Chris,
Kilimanjaro.
I think this is Chris' third or fourth summit of Kilimanjaro. It's really impressive. Hmm.
Water Boys has already raised more than $3 million and has funded 55 wells that will provide water to 211,000 people.
Nick, do you think when someone climbs that many times, they can actually recognize various turds?
Yes, probably. Yes. Oh, yes. There's the spring of 1999 turd.
There it is again.
A lot of people, including Nick, who have climbed Kilimanjaro, say it's a dump.
Yeah, parts of it are most of the beautiful places in Africa. Other parts are just fairly human. Disgusting.
In sports this morning.
All sacks are yummy.
Tom Brady led the New England Patriots to their record-tying sixth Super Bowl win. Brady threw two perfect passes to Rob Gronkowski to set up rookie Sony Mitchell's two-yard score, the only touchdown in the lowest-scoring Super Bowl ever. That put New England up 10-3, and a late field goal clinched the win over the Rams 13-3. Brady became the oldest winning quarterback in a Super Bowl at 41, and Julian Edelman, the receiver who missed the 2017 season with a knee injury, was the game's MVP with 10 receptions and 141 yards.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this is probably an unpopular opinion here in Philadelphia, but I'm glad they won. I'm glad I was rooting for the Patriots more than in the Rams.
Okay. Yeah. People were. It was a waste of time.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it, but unbelievably boring.
The Flyers have won 7 straight games, including the last two in overtime.
There you go.
Tonight with the game against the Vancouver Canucks. With the winning streak, the Flyers are back at 500 with 23 wins and 52 points. The Canucks, meanwhile, have 24 wins on the season and are in fourth place in the Pacific Division. The puck drops tonight at 7 o'clock. The Sixers, who went 2-2 on their recent road trip through Colorado and California, are back home tonight with the game. Sorry, tomorrow night with the game against the Toronto Raptors. Tip-off tomorrow night is at 8 o'clock. In college basketball, Colin Gillespie hit 6 three-pointers and scored a career-high 30 points. Jermaine Samuels had 16 rebounds, and Eric Pascal had 24 points to keep number 14 Villanova unbeaten in the Big East with a 77-65 win over Georgetown. The Wildcats, who improved to 18-4, have won 10 straight games and are 9-0 in the conference for the first time since 2010. They'll be home on Wednesday night with a game against Creighton. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome to Monday Morning Indeed, dear friends. We have a lot going on today for a Monday. I love it when it happens that way. We have our final day of Money Aplenty to be given away. Go fund yourself, and the first opportunity of the last day happens with us at 8 a.m. There's $1,000 at stake for a simple entry of a word. I will reveal that word, tell you how to do it later on this morning. You might even win $10,000 when it is all said and done. So we will try to get that as close to 8 a.m. as we can. And guess who's stopping by today?
Who?
Mark Summers is going to be here. He just got done doing Double Dare at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
In the days leading up to it.
Really cool.
They were doing all kinds of stuff. So we'll talk to Mark and that full experience. So he is actually going to be performing at the Miriam Theater in March. And we'll find out about what all that show. It's going to be Double Dare Live and everything. But details at KimmelCenter.org to get the tickets. But he's going to be here two shows, March 28th and 29th, and he's in town. So, hey,
Mark, I love it.
Come on by.
Yeah.
We also have a brilliant guy. Stephen Merchant is going to be here this
morning. I love him.
One of the co-creators of The Office in the UK, the original The Office, Ricky Gervais, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And he's been in loads of stuff, including a movie that we love, Logan. He played Caliban.
I just watched it yesterday. It was his first dramatic role, and he was amazing.
And he's, if you don't know Caliban, if you saw the movie, he's the kind of albino type character, very, very, very sensitive to the sun.
Yeah.
And just this, just miserable, horrible character.
You felt so bad for him. Man. Yeah.
But he's so good in it. He is stopping by today, and that'll be around 9 o'clock. So it's exciting stuff. We have a lot going on. Obviously, we got to recap a little bit of the whatever that was last night. So we'll get to that and more. So make sure you stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment. I have a Black History Month stupid question for you, because it is indeed February. And our buddy Craig Ligon's gave me some good questions.
He's black.
He is black, and he's very knowledgeable, and he sent me a lot of cool trivia questions. So we'll do that. The Entertainment Report and all these things. Stay with us as we're warming up on this day. We'll be back in just a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Choose to love in any language with a Valentine's Day spa package from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations and give the gift of relaxation this Valentine's Day.
Steven Singer is re-releasing exclusive 24-karat gold dip rose colors just for you. If you missed out on a color, here's your chance to add it to her collection. Check out all the available colors at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so stupid question this morning. Prize, we have a four-pack of tickets to the 21st Annual Philadelphia Tattoo Arts Convention, which is the 15th through the 17th, the Pennsylvania Convention Center. I have a question I have for you. Black History Month, so I got this. Craig Ligon sent me this question. Kevin Hart would have been the fourth African-American to host the Oscars. Who was the first?
Uh-huh.
215-263-WMMR. I'm going to see if you know the answer. Kevin Hart would have been the fourth African-American to host the Oscars, but who was the first? 215-263-WMMR. Our number. Call it now if you know the answer. Today is Monday, February 4th, and a few birthdays to go through as we are awaiting your answer. We'll begin with one from the world of the band The Offspring. It's Noodles' birthday today. Noodles is his nickname. His real name is Kevin Wasserman.
So The Offspring for me is like junk food. It's fun.
Yeah.
Enjoyable music.
Yeah.
They don't pretend to be anything else.
No, exactly. Yeah. They're not trying to be too serious about stuff. Although this song, is this Hammerhead?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about PTSD, isn't it?
Is it?
What I recall when it first came out. But I would have to go back and research that, to be honest. So
I think this is their best song. And then The Kids Aren't Okay, or Kids Aren't All Right.
Yeah,
The Kids Aren't All Right is the next one.
I don't know. It's pretty fly for a white guy. It's pretty hard hitting.
Yeah.
You know.
That is down deep, man.
It's just, I think Pretty Five for a White Guy musically is...
Obla di obla da?
No, Come Out and Play Backwards.
Oh, okay.
The riff played backwards. I'm not 100% sure.
Whatever
but that's
it is,
what I
it's catchy.
So, Offspring, Noodles, 56 today. Alice Cooper.
Oh-ho!
One of the all-time greats in the world of shock rock and... He is celebrating his 71st birthday today, an avid golfer, ambassador of golf for a long, long, long time, and a great golfer. For a point, he was down to like a one handicap.
Wow. And self-admitted huge, huge Bee Gees fan.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
But he's great. I love interviews with him because he does not hold back. He says exactly what he thinks about stuff, and why not?
No.
Alice Cooper.
One of my favorite rock documentaries is about Alice Cooper and about how he, with his agent, helped fashion the Alice character.
Yeah.
And when he did, and when parents objected, that's when it took off.
No kidding. 71 today. Gabrielle Anwar, the actress.
Yes.
She was, if you remember the movie Scent of a Woman, he danced the tango with her.
Hoo-ah.
It was a very short scene with her.
Yeah.
Beautiful young lady. She was in The Three Musketeers and a show called Burn Notice. And she is stunningly beautiful. She's 49 today. It's Dan Quayle's birthday today.
Wow.
Former Vice President of the United States.
My wife once waited on him at a D.C. coffee house. My wife was working.
Oh, yeah?
She was going to school down there, yes. Said it couldn't have been nicer.
Did she meet any other politicos while she was...
Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, wow.
No,
that's odd.
She actually did, and I'm forgetting who else she met.
Okay.
But it was a popular lunch spot.
Probably most well known for, besides being Vice President, misspelling the word potato.
Yeah.
Which was pretty damn funny. So he is 72 years old today. Natalie Imbruglia, the actress and singer. Yep, that's her.
Mesmerizing Eyes.
Australian, yep.
Who was she? She married to, used to be married to the lead singer of Silverchair?
Very good, yeah. Daniel Johns. She's 44 years old today.
Was this was
her main hit in the U.S.
A soap opera actress, too, prior to this.
Correct. You also have LT, Lawrence Taylor.
Wow.
And he is celebrating his big 60th birthday today. Hall of Famer in the NFL. And as I've said before, if you had Tecmo Super Bowl and you played the Giants and you had LT defensively, you were untouchable.
Unstoppable, huh?
Mm-hmm. You have Oscar De La Hoya, the Golden Boy. Boxer, great boxer, and even better promoter of boxing events. He's 46 years old today.
I mean, the amount of punches that guy's taking in the face and in the nose. And
still looks good.
And he's still a handsome great. Man. Yeah,
yeah. Julia Ormond, the actress, who was in things like Sabrina and The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Legends of the Fall. She is 54. And then the last birthday I saw is Rob Corddry.
Huh.
Yeah, from The Daily Show.
Very funny.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
There's a great scene in Hot Tub Time Machine 2 where he is in his house and he is he has this huge picture of him and a tiger, this huge mural. It's hilarious. I think we asked if he got a chance to keep that because it was just so outlandishly over the top.
So he is turning 48 years old today, so happy birthday. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this question. Kevin Hart would have been the fourth African-American to host the Oscars. Who was the first, according to my source?
All right.
We may need to verify this. 215-263-WMMR. I will go to Frank for the answer. Hi, Frank. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Frank, do you know the answer?
I'm thinking it's Harry Belafonte.
I'm thinking you are wrong, sir.
Oh.
Thank you for let me go next to Scott. Hey, Scott, good morning.
How you doing?
Good. Scott, who is the first African-American to host the Oscars?
I'm going to go with Morgan Freeman.
No, incorrect. Mm. No. I will go next to Kelly. Hi, Kelly, good morning.
Hey,
duck. Okay. Hold on.
We're just validating something here. We're constantly receiving a message.
That's what this is, yeah.
All right, well, let's see if you know the answer. What's your answer, sir?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Well, you know what? Nick looked it up, and that's correct, yeah. But it's not the answer that I got from Craig here. It says here that Richard Pryor did it in 1977.
No. He may have presented...
Yeah.
But I don't ever remember Richard Pryor hosting the entire awards. No.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, well, thank you for looking that up, Nick, because we did indeed get the correct answer. And we are going to give Kelly a 4-pack of tickets to the 21st Annual Philadelphia Tattoo Arts Convention, February 15th through the 17th, the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Get tattooed on site by 1,500 of the world's best tattoo artists. Tickets just $20. Visit villainarts.com for more information.
Yeah, Preston, that was the year that the Academy Orchestra was conducted by the Gibbons kids.
Oh, yes.
Don't get it.
Please don't start it.
I'm not going to.
Okay. But, yeah, it says here 1977. We'll have to, Nick, look up who hosted the Oscars in 1977, and that'll give us an accurate look at it. But
they won't lie.
Whoopi Goldberg was apparently the first African-American to host the Oscars. At the box office.
I guess there were multiple hosts that year.
Oh. So 49th Academy Awards hosts were Warren Beatty, Jane Fonda, Ellen Burstyn, and Richard Pryor.
But Whoopi was the first to do it on her own.
Okay. Well, you know what? Well, it's all good.
It's all good. It's all wrong.
I think we all learned something. You might learn something before we're done.
You might learn something about Whoopi and Richard and Ellen.
What's going on?
That's the most gurgly I have ever heard.
I actually swallowed my own tongue for a second. For about a quarter of a minute, I was able to taste my own colon.
Hey, thank you, Bill. At the box office, number one for the third week in a row, Glass.
I want to go see it.
You should go see it.
I definitely want to see
it,
and I'm going to get out to do that. It's the logic of opening these movies is clearly the correct move. Knight says, you know, at a January opening, he's right.
By the way, it only made $9.5 million, so that's nobody was going to the movies this week.
No.
There was nothing really coming out. The Upside was second, followed by Miss Bella. Aquaman is still in the top five, followed by Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Which you loved?
I loved it. Green Book, Kid Who Would Be King, A Dog's Way Home, Escape Room was 9, followed by They Shall Not Grow Old. Those were the movies this
week. That World War One Peter Jackson documentary. I'm dying to see that.
Speaking of the movies, since The Atlantic published a searing new string of sexual misconduct allegations against Bryan Singer, of course, directed Bohemian Rhapsody, in January, many have been calling on his star Rami Malek to address the situation more fully. He's been nominated for an Oscar for a starring role in the film, has previously said that he was not aware of the other allegations against Singer, and Singer was fired from Bohemian Rhapsody in last week's production. He has not appeared with Singer while collecting his Golden Globe, SAG trophies. He hasn't even mentioned him. At the Santa Barbara International Film Festival, Malik told The Hollywood Reporter, "My heart goes out to anyone who has to live through anything like what I've heard and what is out there." He said, "It's awful. It's remarkable that this happens. I can appreciate so much that they've been through and how difficult it must be for them," assuming that these are the victims he's talking about.
Yeah.
He said, "In the light of the Me Too era, that this somehow seems to exist after that. It's a horrible thing. Now, he also addresses his own issues with Singer as well. He said, I've sat here and I've talked about how everyone deserves a voice, and anyone who wants to talk about what happened with Brian deserves to have their voice heard. Malik said, in my situation with Brian, it was not pleasant, not at all.
They didn't get along.
And that's about what I can say about it at this point. Yeah, that's part of the reason why he was let go. Because they did not get along at all.
They were clashing quite often, and he was saying that Singer was very difficult to work with.
He said, for anyone who is seeking any solace in all this, Brian Singer was fired. Brian Singer was fired. I don't think that was something anyone saw coming, but I think that had to happen, and it did.
Now, as we said before, Preston, Brian Singer directed 95% of the movie because he was fired about 3 weeks prior to, you know, the wrap the on filming. The picture. Yeah, whatever. So it is his, and he's a solid director. You got to see the movie. I think it's a great movie.
Yeah.
But I don't think the cast is... you know, they always have to address it. They worked with him. And if they didn't know, they didn't know.
Singer's denied all the allegations, by the way. He still stands to make $40 million from the film. Jussie Smollett broke his silence Friday after what's being described as a racist and homophobic attack in the early hours of Tuesday morning. He said, let me start by saying that I'm okay. This is with Essence Magazine, who's doing an interview. My body is strong, but my soul is stronger. More importantly, I want to say thank you. The outpouring of love and support from my village has meant more than I will ever be able to truly put into words. Regarding some skepticism about the nature of the attack, he said that he's been 100% factual and consistent on every level with authorities. He said, despite my frustrations and deep concern with certain inaccuracies and misrepresentations that have been spread, I still believe that justice will be served. He said, as my family stated, these types of cowardly attacks are happening to my sisters, brothers, and non-gender conforming siblings daily. I'm not and should not be looked upon as an isolated incident, he said. He said, we will talk soon and I will address all the details of this horrific incident, but I need a moment to process. He said, most importantly, during the times of trauma, grief, and pain, there's still a responsibility to lead with love. It's all I know, and that can't be kicked out of me. He performed his first show on Saturday in Southern California in front of 300 people. He told the audience members that he isn't quite healed, but he's doing okay. He also clarified some of the details of the attack. He said, there's a lot of stuff that's been said about me that's absolutely not true. Before speaking about his injuries, he said, I was bruised, but my ribs were not cracked. They were not broken. He said, I don't even care to name any names. He said, the hateful rhetoric that gets passed around, it has to stop. But guess what? It stops with the people that believe in love. So we'll see if there's more that comes of that down the road. Jerry Seinfeld has been accused of knowingly auctioning off a fake Porsche for $1.54 million. He got slapped with a lawsuit by collector Fica Frio.
Fica Frio?
Fica Frio. Who filed papers in Manhattan federal court alleging the legendary comic passed off an alleged 1958 Porsche Carrera Speedster, knowing that it was bogus.
Ah, man. And you know, the very telling thing, Preston, is that it's P-O-R-S-H-A.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's not the proper spelling.
No. The buyer contended that to...
So it's not spelled right. Who cares?
To make matters worse, Seinfeld failed to follow through after promising to make it right. This is according to... I don't know who made
it. It's a Volkswagen Porsche.
So I'll read this statement. I don't even know who the hell it's from. After being informed by Fica Frio, like they don't put who said you should say who's saying this first.
If it's Fica Frio talking, have Fica Frio say it.
And not three quarters of the way through, give me who the goddamn source is.
You're quoting someone that that's not even on the list.
Here we go. After being informed by Fica Frio,
Fica Frio,
that the vehicle is not authentic, Mr. Seinfeld orally accepted in a voicemail audio recording.
What kind of world do we live in where Fica Frio gets to speak?
Fica Frio's offer to rescind the sale of the vehicle and return to Fica Frio the purchasing price that Fica Frio had paid to Mr. Seinfeld. I kid you not, it's in here this many times.
I want you to stop saying.
Plus all costs and incurred.
Hey, his name's Fica Frio.
In exchange for Fica Frio returning the vehicle to Mr. Seinfeld, the suit states. Mr. Seinfeld breached that oral agreement as he has not returned Fica Frio's purchase price, nor paid to Fica Frio its costs incurred in exchange for the vehicle.
So he contends, Fica Frio, that Jerry Seinfeld, with prior knowledge, sold a fraudulent Porsche to one Fica Frio And
there's no R in the first name. It's Fika.
Oh.
It's Frito-Lay?
No, it's not Frito-Lay. It's not Frika Frio. It's Fika Frio.
Fika Frio?
It's from just one of the guys. Fika Frio.
Fika Frio.
Fika Frio.
Fika Frio. Frio.
I don't know much about this case, but honestly, why would Jerry Seinfeld have any impetus to sell a Porsche to someone?
Yeah, why? You know,
he's hurting for money. I have some debts.
I know exactly. He's got a garage. Yeah. I mean, like a multi-level parking garage,
a warehouse
of these things, and it would make no sense to sell a fake one to Fika Frio.
You know, Porsche will send him gratis. Mm-hmm. Whatever new production models they release.
For free?
A lot of times that's the case.
No kidding.
Because he's such a Porsche prophet.
Okay. Maybe Fika Frio is too. I don't really know. I don't know who he is. Seinfeld auctioned off the car in March of 2016. His lawyer, Oren Snyder, told the
Oren
Post.
Oren and Frico.
Fika. And Jerry has been working in good faith to get to the bottom of this matter.
We're going to get to the bottom.
This is sad news. Actress Edie McClurg, who played Ferris Bueller, Principal Rooney's assistant Grace in Ferris Bueller.
She's not dead. But it's not good.
The beloved actress is battling dementia, according to her family and friends, who say that they're trying to protect her from a guy who's allegedly taking advantage of her as well.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. I just watched Ferris Bueller with my son. He'd never seen it before, and I thought it might be borderline, because I think it's PG-13 or whatever.
Yeah.
He loved it. It holds up, and she's so funny. And at the scene where she takes out multiple pencils from her ear, it's hysterical.
And I just watched last week to see if it still held up. I saw it was on, but Back to School was on.
Yeah. Oh.
And I remember her character's name for some bizarre reason. She's in the character. She's in the classroom with the really intense business teacher. And he goes, "Who are you?" And she goes, "Marge Sweetwater." That voice. It's so great.
Well, she's in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. She is, you know, she's the car rental agency.
You're effed.
Yeah. Do you have your paperwork? And that was a character she played a lot throughout the movies, but she was part of like the Groundlings and you know, improvisational comedy troupes.
She was in Cheech and Chong's next movie, the second movie.
Yeah.
And of course, I know this is bizarre, but she gets high in the movie and her laugh. is just a scream. She has a small part in the movie, but she's just one of those people that, you know.
Well, when she would be interviewed or she'd be on game shows, she'd be her regular self. And then she'd turn on the character.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody's taking advantage of
her. Yeah. Edie's niece, cousin, and friends filed documents on Friday requesting a conservatorship to take control of the actress's affairs. In the documents, they say neurological tests revealed she no longer is able to live alone without assistance and is especially vulnerable to undue influence given her poor judgment and evident dementia. Their immediate concern is a longtime male friend who's lived with the 72-year-old for several years. According to the documents, the guy's previously talked about marrying her.
Oh.
Edie's family and friends don't think that she's capable of understanding the relationship with the guy.
She wants to be Mrs. Freak-a-Free.
Yeah, they claim that he's been verbally abusive and tried to compel her to sign documents to change her estate planning.
This has happened a number of times. Sure. I forget who the last. There was somebody, Preston, just recently we were talking about. Who was it? Peter Falk, power of attorney to someone else because the kids, you know, went before he passed, or
might have been.
You don't know what you're doing, and you hope you're surrounded by people who give a rat's ass about you.
They're asking the court to appoint one of them, the cousins.
How about Tom Sizemore
as the conservator? So that's sad news, and I hope that they're able to to get control.
Well, someone who's made you laugh. For so many years, you don't want them to end up that way.
Oh, well, he's very popular, Ed. The sportos, the motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
So sad to hear, man. Let's move on to some other news. We'll go with this. NBC is teaming up with the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival for a comedy competition series being dubbed Bring the Funny.
Bring the Funny.
They should have called it Bring the Ha Ha.
Bring the Ha.
Wouldn't that have been better?
Yes.
Hello, you stole my name. I'm suing. Can't come after me just because I'm low-hanging fruit.
That's Bill's term, Bring the Ha Ha. Which will feature stand-up and star-studded panel of...
That Larry Flint interview was not ha-ha worthy. Couldn't understand what the guy was saying. What's wrong with him? Does he know how to talk?
Well, Billy's been shot in the head 9 times.
And he had a stroke.
Still not an excuse.
He has, like, zero sympathy for anybody. He's just not a warm guy.
He is not a warm guy. He just does when it comes to magazine publishers.
No, with anybody. He's not a warm human being.
Well, you're really winning him over.
Well, I'm mad at him. I texted him over the weekend. He never responds to my text.
He gets right on with me.
Really?
Yeah.
We never respond. We go into our AOL chat room for hours.
I haven't texted Bill enough to know if he responds to me in a timely fashion or not.
I don't want to write back to Casey.
I don't even text him that often.
I see him enough at work as it is.
Comedian Amanda Seals will host, and the judges include Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, my God.
Kenan Thompson and Jeff Foxworthy. Contestants are vying for $250,000 prize package, and the show is casting now. What?
So they've gotten rid of Last Comic Standing, and they're replacing it with this? Is that what this is?
Probably it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, probably. Bring the funny. Bring the ha-ha.
Bring the ha-ha.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Chrissy Teigen in there?
Because she's so goddamn funny. Yeah.
I don't know, man. She's an influencer. She's got lots of followers, so that's part of it now. Rumored new lovebirds, Pete Davidson and Kate Beckinsale, were spotted holding hands again after his stand-up show at Largo at the Coronet in West Hollywood.
Largo at the Coronet?
Coronet.
Oh, okay. So he was doing a show, and he's walking out, and they're definitely an item.
Because
she's got that hand over her face a little bit, and I guess he's got a Tootsie Pop in his mouth.
A Tootsie Pop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's what it looks like, right? Or else it's a Virginia Slims.
An Eve.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I liked Eve. They were a little more ornate.
Super duper skinny. Yeah. It had a little design on the filter.
Yeah. You smoke them in half a second.
Mm-hmm.
Take one drag and the thing's gone.
It's like Janine Garofalo's cigarette brand in
Romeo and Michelle. So, they were first spotted together in January when they reportedly got acquainted at Netflix's Golden Globes after party. So,
good for him, man. Yeah, we saw her in person.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Something else.
She's also a big fan of ours, right? Is that the one that's always retweeting us and stuff?
No.
It was Bridget Moynihan.
Bridget Moynihan. Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Well, if I had to know, that'd be a game changer. I'd have to go sit in a room and think about that for a while.
Bridget Moynihan's hot, too.
Yeah. Oh, she is, absolutely.
90210 alum Tori Spelling confirmed that the hit 90s show is returning. Did you guys see that?
No. Yeah.
Now, if they do it right, bring all the original cast members back, but put them in high school as if they are not the age they currently are.
But there's like two of them that are not coming, right?
So, let's see. She told Access that the reboot is the OG crew back together, and we're playing heightened versions of ourselves. Fans will be pleasantly surprised, though, because we will intercut that. We will intercut that with scenes from the show. So, it'll be a whole ensemble cast playing a heightened version of themselves, almost everybody. So, I don't know what that means.
Netflix or something like that?
Maybe. You know what? I don't know.
Are they going to key in on her botched plastic surgery?
I know. Seriously.
She was the
maybe they'll address that.
She was the last person revealed on The Masked Singer last week.
Oh, she was.
Oh, it looked bad.
Really?
Should have kept the mask on.
Oh, God. Oh, I got to see
fact,
it.
It almost seemed like Russian Dollish, right? Where they took her mask off.
Yeah, and there was another one coming off.
It looked like she was wearing a mask.
Hey, question. Was Gladys Knight indeed one of the singers?
We don't know yet. I think so.
Wait, they took the last mask off. How did we not know?
No, she was the last person to take the mask off, meaning there are still more left.
I thought you meant the final one of the series. Okay, I got you. So she was the most recent one.
Most recent one. I'm sorry. That's a better
way to say it. I don't know when this will air or what the story is on it, but they've made the announcement.
It's going to be great. It's like we're back in high school.
Jesus.
Ew.
That sounded horrible.
I thought I heard Luke Perry and Shannon Daugherty are not involved.
Well, Luke Perry's on Riverdale.
So maybe he can't?
He might have a contractual obligation.
I don't mind Shannon Doherty not being on there. I don't really care for her. But
she just also came back from fighting cancer. Yeah, she may not be well enough to do it.
You got to have Luke Perry on there, though.
Oh, my God.
Look at the coast.
Look at Tori Spelling.
Yeah, we're looking at the attraction.
Oh, my. You know what? It looks a little bit like her mother.
I feel bad for her because her mother is such a, or I don't know the full dynamic, but her mom seems, Candy Spelling seems like a nuclear bitch.
Wait, so that is her actual mom?
I believe that's a story.
All right, I wasn't sure if she was just the next wife, like her stepmom or whatever.
Can you find that out?
No,
yeah, we've talked about
mom,
it in the past.
It's her direct mother,
it's
right?
It's her mom, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God, and she's that big of a bitch to her?
Right. Yeah.
Right. So Candy Spelling's gift wrapping room at the mansion is larger than Tori Spelling's entire house.
Wow. All right, so I have other things to get to. Giselle Bundchen is opening up about her split from...
Who's this?
Giselle Bundchen is opening up about her split from Leonardo DiCaprio. She tells Porter Magazine that she finally broke it off when she realized she needed a major change of pace. She said, no longer numbing myself with smoking, drinking, and too much work. I was becoming more and more aware of things that I'd chosen not to look at.
I need major change of pace.
Was I alone and wanted to do some serious soul searching while he stayed the same?
Uh-huh.
Question mark?
He wasn't growing up.
In the end, unfortunately, the answer was yes. So, I don't know. Does that really mean much of anything
it means
here?
Nothing.
No. They
granted, he had much bigger penis.
2005, of course, she's married to Tom Brady.
Yeah, they all win in the end. She gets Tom Brady. Leo gets to go on and date whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants.
Yeah.
I had actually heard that Tom Brady's got a wiffle ball bat down there.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. I mean, so, yes. Yeah, six times Super
Are you
Bowl
saying
champion.
It's hollow and made of plastic?
No. It's just that it's big.
I know. Yeah. She was there at the game last night going crazy.
Where do you hear these things?
BigDong.com?
I had heard it from a former NFL football player.
Oh, really?
That that
couldn't fit in his mouth.
No, that it, so this is what I heard. So somebody had walked in on him as he was having relations with Paris Hilton.
Okay.
And it was so big that she couldn't...
That it was in Paris and Spain at the same time.
Yeah, no, that she wouldn't...
Don't even.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. It's hard to explain, but so he's packing heat down there.
Yeah. Good for him. Yeah. If only he had a successful career to go along with that and a gorgeous
Six
wife.
Super Bowl victories.
Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham star in the eagerly anticipated Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. The ad aired last night. Fans are getting the first glimpse of the pair in the spinoff's new trailer.
Watch the trailer, and they're saying that it is basically picks up where Three Billboards
separate. Yeah.
So we find out what they end up doing, where they go in the station
wagon. Where they
wagon.
Go. They're sitting in the car, and then they hook up with Jason Statham and Dwayne Johnson.
In the film, they reprise their roles as law enforcement, diplomatic, security service agent Luke Hobbs.
Is that what they are?
Yeah.
I have no idea what they
pretend
do.
Jobs.
And assassin Deckard Shaw.
Okay.
So why didn't they just make Calvin and Hobbs?
Right.
Do you see a theatrical version and use the same script? Now, I was watching the extended Red, what are they called? Red Ribbon or whatever?
Red Band
trailer. And there were a couple of chuckles. It seems to be, I mean, it's incredibly over the top because Idris Elba is this enhanced, genetically enhanced sort of X-Men type bad guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like both of them. We'll see.
Yeah. It's just, you know.
It's a little too much.
Look at the evolution of where this started, you know.
Street racing.
And now they have
fighting robots.
So, whatever,
it's all about robots. It's all about fighting robots.
Wait, he's not even in it.
I know.
Or is he?
Maybe you never know.
It's all about fighting robots. Yeah. A family of robots. If my family is made of robots, I'd be a twofer.
Idris Elba.
I got great news. I just purchased the Roomba. That's a robot. It's about robots and family.
They're legitimately robots in the movie. Idris Elba, meanwhile, stars as the film's villain. Vanessa Kirby will also be in it. David Leitch. Is that how you say his name? L-E-I-T-C-H. Lick. Leaky.
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah, Leaky.
Direct, and the Universal film opens August 2nd.
I'm much more interested to see The Rock in Fighting With My Family with Stephen Merchant. That yep. looks, to me, that's a far more interesting role, and even though he's playing himself, yep. I'm so tired of the Fast and the Furious franchise.
And Stephen Merchant will be here to talk about that movie. One last thing. Joe Pesci is getting back in the Home Alone game with a new spot for Google Assistant. In the spot, Pesci, who, of course, plays his character from the movie, plays himself watching Macaulay Culkin act in a previous ad spot that he made for Google, which I thought was a funny ad, too. So they're revising.
It was well done.
These things.
They actually had a good Google had a good commercial during the Super Bowl last night about their translator app.
Right.
Yeah, it was well done.
That was cool. All right, we're ready for clips, Case. Ooh. Let's hit those up. What Men Want is about a woman who is boxed out by the male sports agents in her profession, but gains an unexpected edge when she develops the ability to hear men's thoughts. In this clip, Richard Roundtree, who was in our studio not long ago, talks about playing Taraji P. Henson's father in the movie. Here we go.
I wanted her to be that strong because the things that I've experienced in my life, I didn't want her to experience, so I made her tough as nails and named her Ali after the greatest.
Yeah. What Men Want premieres in theaters on Friday. Here's the next clip. Untogether is about a recently sober writer who strikes up an affair with a doctor turned writer who is hailed for his wartime memoir.
Is it another Fast and the Furious?
No. In this clip, Jemima Kirk talks about doing X-rated scenes Ooh. With 50 Shades of Grey star Jamie Dornan. Here we go.
All the tweets came out and they were all about Jamie Dornan. He's really professional. The first sex scene we did was like, he went right for it. There was no awkward like, hey, what'd you do last night? I was like, I'm in good hands.
Untogether premieres in theaters on Friday. That's it. So I got for you this morning in the entertainment report to your friends. Like I said, Stephen Merchant is stopping by today, director and producer of Fighting With My Family. And you know him from other things as well. I mean, he's a co-creator of The Office. So,
did you ever watch An Idiot Abroad?
Yes. I love that show.
So he and Ricky Gervais sent the other creator and writer on The Office who hates to travel out around the world to travel. And he's a terrible traveler. And they would monitor his progress back in England, and it was hilarious.
Okay.
He was totally out of his element traveling.
I saw him in Drunk History. He played Abraham Lincoln one time,
which is pretty cool.
But he's stopping by this morning. Mark Summers!
Hey!
We'll be here. And before we get to Mark, we'll have a chance to win $1,000. It's our final day of Go Fund Yourself. Don't miss it. It could even be worth $10,000. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. Temperature's warming up today. It's going to be so nice. We'll be right back.
Whether social.
Hey, welcome in.
Or antisocial.
Hey, get out.
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
We have Stephen Merchant joining us in the studio this morning. Mark Summers will be in our studio this morning. We have money to give away with GoFund Yourself. It is the final day of that, so let's get set. It's coming up around 8 o'clock this morning, so your chance to win. So, anybody go to a Super Bowl party last night? Was Marissa the only one of us that actually had a get-together?
I did.
Or you went? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Did you have fun?
I did, yeah.
Well, good.
And excellent. I actually watched the game.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I watched until that last field goal, and then I was like, okay.
That's enough.
It's 13-3. I don't need to watch the end.
Okay. Yeah. So Marissa and Kathy were the only ones who went out.
I stayed home. Yeah, I stayed at home, too. I honestly barely watched any of it, and I feel a little bad about it, but I just was... When I did check in, it was boring, and
boring.
I don't think I'm alone in that assessment.
No, it's the general consensus. I watched every second of it, on the other hand, and it was staggeringly boring. It was boring. The commercials were pretty boring. The commentary was pretty boring, and it was just listen. Even I'm not as much into these things, but still. Give me a decent Super Bowl with some action and, you know,
offense,
something. Yeah. And it was just and even the the commentators, Casey, and I don't know, you didn't watch it, but they were trying to dig up. They were trying to dig up stuff to talk
about.
They had
nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
It was Romo and Nance. Right. And they just I like those guys. They're fine. But they had nothing to talk about because there was nothing to talk about.
And was it? It was the lowest scoring game in the history of all time.
So, it was the first time in history that a touchdown had not been scored through three quarters.
I had we didn't go to a party last night. Normally, we go to a neighbor's get together, but my daughter has a medical thing she's doing today. We had to prepare for that yesterday, so we didn't go to a party. We just hung out at home. I was getting some stuff done around 6:30, some planning vacations and booking things and this and that. And I look up and it's 8 o'clock, and I go, oh, my God, the Super Bowl's on. I forgot completely that it was on because we weren't in our regular mode that we would normally be at an event where we're watching it. I forgot that it was on.
Especially in light of last year's Super Bowl.
I tuned in just in time for the halftime show. I watched that, and then I went back to doing my work. And then this morning when I came into work, I watched all the commercials, which were online. And so I saw everything I needed to say.
Oh, my God.
The game sucked.
And it did. It sucked. And then as I'm watching all the commercials, which I think they realize now, why blow the proverbial wad on, on going crazy for your spot when they're finding now that even – so they might get a bump or a tick here and there, but for money spent – it really doesn't end up being cost-effective to run ads on the Super Bowl, depending on what size company you are.
And there were a few of them that poked fun about how ridiculous it is to advertise.
Yes.
There was a Ram truck commercial that was like, why don't they just show you what they're selling? And they're reminiscing about old commercials.
Right,
and they go, I don't even remember what that was for. So that was kind of that one. And then they had the Skittles one, which was a musical.
Right.
That's the one we might want audio from, Marissa. We didn't really ask for any audio from commercials, but they're doing a musical about how advertising is horrible, but they're second guessing whether or not it's horrible or not. And it was cute.
Well, one of the most telling things is we do it ourselves, but there's also a service that sort of skims audio clips from last night. There was not one single piece of audio from the commercials.
No kidding.
Nothing.
Wow. Okay.
There was one, on the matter of the game, it was, again, I can take boring with the promise of something happening, but this was boring.
Yep.
And it just moved at a glacial pace. I'm glad it starts early so that, you don't have to take it late like you would like with the Oscars or something.
Right.
But, again, where the rest, the sort of, okay, well, maybe the commercials will be good. There were a couple commercials that I thought were touching. The most I got was touching, a chuckle here or there. But it's not, this used to be, when you couldn't count on the Super Bowl, you could say, well, the commercials are going to be incredible. Mm-hmm. Can't even do that anymore.
Actually, the one that I enjoyed the most was an NFL commercial. It was the one, 100 years of NFL.
Okay.
Was that at the wedding reception?
Yeah, all the that old guys and new guys all playing, going after the ball. That was well done.
Who was the female in that commercial?
I don't know. So one girl at the near the end of the spot where she gets the ball and he asks, he says, I don't know who it was. She said, give me the ball. And she's like, I don't think so. And she's, shucked and jived and got around him. I assume she's a player of some sort.
I don't know. That was great, though.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. Was that Ninja, by the way, who was one of the servers?
Who's Ninja?
He's the most famous Fortnite player gamer ever.
I don't know.
not familiar. There are two that stood out to me. There was one where they had this coach who was talking about first responders, and he's talking, and the people who are around him turned out to be the people who came to his aid when he had a horrific car accident.
Yeah,
that's been a
that was very touching.
Well, I mean, it's sort of been a campaign that. That whole thing where it's various coaches and players throughout the NFL who have had their lives saved by first responders.
Love that. Yeah. Love that approach. And then there was one they did, Preston, and Microsoft had a commercial out where it's happening. And these kids running to this other kid's house who is obviously physically disabled playing a controller. And I always thought it was a weird commercial. Last night they did a commercial that sort of explained the whole deal, and I loved it. Yeah. And they had a dad talking about the importance of his son who's disabled being Microsoft makes all these special adaptable controllers so kids, no matter what their physical situation, can play video games.
Okay. Yeah.
And allows them to be part of this community they see their other friends participating in that heretofore they could not participate in.
Yeah,
it was great.
Some kids that either had amputations or malformed limbs and things like that, or limitations on movement, and they had all these special pads that they could use to
foot
play
pads.
Games. And it was great.
Okay.
It was a great spot.
Because I've seen the other commercial that you were talking about, and
It was weird. I never quite understood the thrust of it. Now you understand it. They finally explained it, and it meant a lot. I thought it was really well done.
I like that one a lot.
And the other one I thought, Preston, I thought of you immediately was the commercial that starts off, we believe it's, listen, I love Bud. I love the whole thing, the whole the company. I've never been a huge fan of the Dilly Dilly thing.
Me either.
So they're doing the Dilly Dilly thing, and you realize it's actually a commercial for Game of Thrones.
So they joust. You watch Game of Thrones, Case. Anybody else here watch it?
Yep.
Yeah, Nick does. So they joust, and the Bud Light guy gets knocked off his horse, and then you see this guy walk, and you just see a little bit from behind. All of a sudden, you look at him and you're like, wait a minute, he's wearing a Kingsguard uniform. And it's the Mountain.
Oh.
You know, as he's kind of a bizarre character now. They kind of brought him back to life. And so he's almost like this zombie type thing. And it was him. And then a dragon flies in and just fries everything.
No way.
It was well done.
Yeah.
And for once, it wasn't Bud. You know, Bud wasn't the winner in this.
No, it was not. Yeah, no.
It was pretty cool. So they did a good job at that one.
Oh, look at
there
this.
Was another one that spoke to me, Steve. Michelob Ultra. They did an ASMR spot.
They did.
Wow. It was Zoe Kravitz,
and
she opens up a bottle, and there's two really, you know, ultra-sensitive microphones next to her, and she leans into one and says, it's time. You know, she starts whispering, which the whispering thing doesn't do it for my ASMR personally, but it's very, very popular.
Do you
and
like
she
the, starts the nails?
She starts tapping on the bottle with her nails,
and then she
rolls the bottle around the bottom of it on the table. That sound I really like a lot.
Do you like Cardi B does one where she's doing her nails? She's got these long nails, and she does a little bit of the whisper. She's getting little clicks going on as she's talking.
Mm-hmm.
But last night I had an idea to do that exact approach video, but with Gary Lauer.
Oh, my God.
Let's see if he can.
Oh, my. We need to
do that. But the sounds of his dentures shifting.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my God. Ew.
So
my grandmother used to rattle her dentures around in her mouth.
So I want to do that with the same sort of up close with the two microphones, get Nick Murphy to do it, and have Gary in the middle.
God, you just brought back a horrible memory.
My
grandmother running her tongue to pop her dentures down so she gets some food out from between her gums and her dentures. Nasty.
Is it wild how this thing you just peripherally mentioned a couple of years ago?
Yes, yeah, now the common. Everywhere.
I just saw one with Rita Ora. Rita, right? That's
yeah.
Doing one. Yeah.
There are more of us than you know.
But I had never heard of it until you mentioned it, and Angela kind of chimed in that both of you kind of have a similar thing. I had no idea.
Yeah, it was well over a dozen years ago when I first remember hearing about somebody describing it, and I'm like, that's me.
Yeah.
That's absolutely me. I've never mentioned to anyone in my life that I have this thing that I love. And then, now Angela and I text each other regularly when we come across sounds that we love. So, it's taken off, and now it's a Super Bowl commercial. Unreal.
So, for the most part, they were, again, nice. There were some touching ones. Was there any other thing that stood out to you?
Well, let me go to this call, because I don't remember this one. I'm going to go to Ben. Hey, Ben, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen and ladies. How are you?
Great. What's up, my man?
Yo, Preston, my son's name Cullen. You remember me?
Oh, yeah, because that's my dad's name. Nice. Oh. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, I can't believe you're not talking about the Teaching Watson commercial.
Yeah, I saw that was one of the only ones that I saw with Craig Robinson and
somebody else.
Chris Paul.
It was good.
I thought it was funny. I mean, it wasn't revolutionary or anything like that. Basically, they were making jokes about nuts, and I am interested in the product because they are meat nuts, which I've never heard of before. So,
exactly.
Yes.
But that commercial was on the internet all week long.
Yeah, it was on leading up to it. Yeah.
I hadn't seen it until last night.
But it was Deets Nuts.
Deets Nuts.
Like Deets and Watson.
Deets and Watson meat nuts.
Nice. All right. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it, buddy.
Guys, have a good one.
You too. Actually,
I did like that Stella commercial with Sarah Jessica Parker.
And the dude? Well, hang on here. Heather wanted to comment on that. Hi, Heather. Good morning.
Meemer.
What's up, Heather?
I did not watch the Super Bowl, but I specifically went online to check out all of the commercials. And I got to say, I was a little disappointed. I thought, you know, it was overhyped before it even came out. And I wanted more of the dude and less of
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
So I heard that from a couple of people because so it's for Stella Artois, right?
Artois.
As a non-drinker, I'm not quite familiar, right. Everyone was anticipating the dude. That was the thing they kept selling, and I thought it was cute. I agree, there could have been a little bit more. You know, in that same vein, Heather, the Steve Carell Pepsi spots were. Underwhelming. Okay.
Yeah.
Just okay.
Yeah.
Sarah Jessica Parker must have gotten her boobs done.
She's very buff. She did look good in there. I agree. A couple more, actually, Steve. The Audi spot for the electric car.
I did like
that
it.
It was fun,
and it made the car look good.
It was cute.
Yeah.
The guy was joking.
He shows up at his grandfather. I want to show you something. This is yours, and it's the e-tron, the new Audi electric car. And it turns out he's just choking on something at work. And
he was dreaming about it. Yeah, he saw his life flash before his eyes, and this wonderful thing about to happen, and it was all wrong. But I really liked this bizarre Burger King commercial with Andy Warhol.
Retro spot.
Had to have been from the 1970s. Yeah. And it was actually Andy Warhol taking out, like, I guess, a
Whopper?
A Whopper. And
from 1982.
82, okay.
66 scenes from America.
It was during the Have It Your Way campaign, and they show him having it his way.
So that was, what's 66 Scenes from America, Nick?
It's a movie by...
That's from a movie.
Yeah, Jorgen Leth. Steve, okay. I've never heard of him.
He was eaten by a salmon.
And it's called Andy Warhol eating a Hamburger. And it's from this this movie that came out in 1982 called 66 Scenes from America.
How about that?
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting. Really odd.
Well, and it's him, basically the creator of pop art.
Yeah,
sitting there having his burger, and it's just, I liked that it was quiet too. There was virtually no audio, just him doing his deal.
Yep.
The spot that actually made me chuckle a bit was the failed Alexa devices that they had, and they had one that was a dog collar.
Yep.
Where the dog was ordering dog food,
and his owner was Harrison Ford. Yeah, that was fun. I'll go next to Chris on the phone. Say, Chris, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yeah, bud. Just talking about the spots from last night.
Yeah. Did you guys catch that Bud Light commercial where they threw their competition under the bus with the corn syrup?
There were a couple. They did a couple of spots focusing on the corn syrup. Yeah. So there were two or three that had that theme.
Yeah, I just thought that was genius by Bud Light, just to throw their competition under the bus because I'm a Budweiser guy. And
Boy, then you support it. Now, I'm a corn syrup guy, so I just drink that.
Yeah, I mean, beer's beer, so it don't really matter to me. But also, if you guys didn't catch that Stella commercial, the old Dos Equis guy was actually the guy in that commercial.
Oh, sitting at the counter, the
most
bar.
Interesting man in the world. You're right. Thanks, Chris. Now, I liked where they were rolling a giant barrel of corn syrup around. That was pretty cool. Well, let's get over to a little bit of the halftime show stuff.
Yes.
What'd you guys think about it?
I realize, first off, it's probably unfair of me to say this because I'm not a Maroon 5 fan. I've said I think Adam Levine is very talented. I was pretty underwhelmed. I thought it
was bizarre.
And then they did a tribute to the creator of SpongeBob SquarePants because he's from Atlanta, and they said they were going to do that. So that's why that animated segment began the Travis Scott portion of the halftime show.
Yep.
So he comes down. We're supposed to see on a comet. What he was wearing around his waist? Was that?
I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
I thought all the performances were underwhelming, except for the one part where Adam Levine starts to shred a little bit.
No, I disagree. I liked it, and I don't really give a damn about Maroon 5 at all. I just thought it was. I liked when they brought out the drum line and the choir.
Yeah,
I thought that was a really cool thing.
I liked the drum
line.
They
certainly were not lip syncing, which we've seen a lot of in the Super Bowl.
Any of them?
None that I could tell, Kath. Yeah. It seemed to be. I was watching very, very closely, and it seemed like they were maybe at the very beginning of Big Boy's part. It might have been lip synced, but for the most part, it seemed to be. That they were going live with everything. And then
they played moves like Jagger, and that really was just rubbing salt in the wound.
Which was their finale.
I've never seen him perform, so I'm not sure what type of performer he is, but I just thought it was bizarre when he took his shirt off.
He looked, really wanted to do that.
He looked great, mm-hmm. but then he was kind of doing these hip
sit-ups all year.
He was doing these hip rolls, and I don't know, I just thought it was a little bizarre.
I kept thinking, this dude has been working out to get ready
for this very moment.
My pecs are good. I've been doing sit-ups every day, crunches.
I tell you what.
Take my shirt off. I'm going to do it, guys.
Yeah, it was just, not my cup of tea. I was not.
And then he
impressed.
Had that necklace on. That's not how he dresses.
Here's what I'm glad they stayed away from was the gigantic troop of dancers. Because whenever I see that, I'm like, oh, Jesus. just freaking filling it with, you know, with puff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm glad that they didn't go with a gigantic group of dancers that were doing all kinds of things. Now, the drones were awesome. Did you see that part?
I did not, no.
So they had these, what looked like lanterns, you know, the flying lanterns.
Oh, is that what they were?
They handed those out to people in the audience, and you see them holding them, and then they show these flying ones, and it looked as if they were just letting these lanterns go. But then they would move around and spelled words. You didn't see that part?
Oh, then I did see it, because I did see the words get spelled. I didn't realize those were drones
doing
that.
They had to have been drones. Yeah, that was pretty cool. So, and I guess they took that from, you know, Muse, who really were the first to use drones for
Christmas. Well, that was pretty cool then. Yeah. But when I like when Travis Scott, the Christ figure, falls back into the audience. There was a guy who you could tell was supposed to be a little more under him fell off. But, it came off.
Yeah, we're looking at the footage here right now. They're rolling it in the studio of the drones. They look like, you know, and you can see at the bottom there where they're holding those, lanterns.
Okay.
So that's what that's supposed to be. And then eventually they shift and move and they start spelling words in the sky, which is really, really cool.
All right, so there was a big surprise that Big Boy came out at the...
They had announced it ahead of time,
How's that a surprise?
I kept saying that it was a surprise. I'm like,
I think it was a surprise that he showed up via meteorite and that they crashed into the stadium that way.
Well, that was Travis Scott.
He showed up in a car in an old caddy or something like that.
But it was a comet.
all right, so mixed reviews on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, serviceable, got it done. Yeah. I've seen ones that I've liked a lot more.
Yep.
But, there's so much stuff that goes into this. I get it's halftime. They have to eat up the time and everything is pressing. The level of sponsorship and sub-sponsorship and sponsors of the sponsors last night was in full vigor. And it just gets... Listen, we love our advertisers. We love, you know, the fact that the show is supported that way. But it's almost too much. Right. You know, I mean, it's beyond too much.
Go ahead. Ask your question.
I was just
going to bring up something.
Do we know how the ratings were last night?
I don't know. They can draw overnight, so they would know. I don't know what they're anticipating. It's funny because they made the point that even in L.A., they weren't that excited for this to begin with. It's sort of, hey, man, finally the Patriots are going to win a Super Bowl. No, it wasn't that. And it was a boring game. So I'd be curious to see how the audience sheared off as it progressed.
Right. Did you see there was a little controversy with the national anthem?
No.
It's not your standard kind of controversy. It was the length and whether or not the over or under on the prop bet was met or not because...
She was great, by the way.
I didn't see the beginning of the game, so I missed it completely. And I love Gladys Knight, so I'm bummed out about that. I know we have the audio, but she sang the word brave twice at the end, and the placement of the second brave was crucial to the prop bet as she went under after saying the first one and went over with the second one. So people were confused.
She wasn't finished.
Right, that's what I say too, Kev. Yeah. It says here that, let me see here. She went over the second. If you count Knight's anthem after the first brave, the record would show that she finished at 149, according to Bovada and Odds Shark. Most prop bets had the length at 150. So the second brave would have sent it way over. While most books drew the line at the under, betonline.ag is paying out both the over and the under. So I don't know where that ends up putting everybody who bet on that.
That's kind of weird.
We'll play a little bit of it because it's like 2.5 minutes long with the intro and everything. And I guess maybe they count the beginning of it as to when she starts singing. I don't really know, but she's from Atlanta, so that was part of the reason why she sang it.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early?
Very orchestral.
So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars.
She got a great voice.
Oh, she was great.
I'm going to go to the end here and see where she says brave twice and how that ended up putting things over here in a second.
And the whole.
Yeah. count the second one.
She's still singing.
She wasn't done.
Cool flyover, by the way.
F-16s.
Yeah.
Is that a hole in the roof?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was a dome.
It is.
But they it opens.
Okay. Oh. It's like a sunroof.
To let the birds in.
Like a moonroof.
It's a cool-looking stadium.
Speaking of birds.
It is a cool, especially, Nick, I was wondering, not to jump in here, Case.
That's all right.
So on the top of it, they have this band that goes around. I assume that band is, it was that real or is that superimposed on the band? That is like an advertising band.
Oh, I don't know.
Same way they have one in the Wells Fargo that runs around the ring.
On the inside or the outside?
It looked like it was tilted up on the top of the opening.
And video screens, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you'd be down on the field looking up and it
would you
like
see it?
You could watch replays way up top.
Oh, all right. Maybe that. Yes. Okay. So there you go. Yeah. I guess it is then.
Yeah, but it's circular, Steve. So it's framed differently than the one in the Wells Fargo Center or most other stadiums, where it's like it hangs over the field. This one hangs sort of out of the field, and you can watch it that way.
It's pretty cool.
Which is better because, like for the Cowboys Stadium, they have that. It's a gigantic jumbotron that hangs over the field.
Yeah, right.
And they actually had to raise it because punters were hitting it with the ball. And it's still, even though they raised it, this past season, I know for a fact that it got hit at least one time.
Well, I think the whole idea is if you're going to be paying $1,500, $2,000 a ticket, you want to be able to see the TV that you're going to watch the game on. Yeah, you know, just sit there.
By the way, if they hit that, is that a ground rule double?
No, it's a re-kick.
Can you imagine the person who designed it was like, oh, my God, we didn't think about the punts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, so, Case, you skipped it all together then, right?
Listen, it was on my house, in my house, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
So I caught glimpses of it, but I made sure I didn't sit down and watch it.
You said
anything.
You weren't, and you did.
Yeah. Case, did you write this down?
No, Marissa did.
Marissa did. I thought that was him. There was a commercial where a woman had a screw in her forehead, and her boyfriend was there with her, and she's saying something along the lines, just leave it alone. I thought that was him. It was Tommy Pope from Delco Proper, who was the guy who reached over with his mouth and yanked it out and spit it out.
In a Super Bowl commercial?
In a Super Bowl commercial. I saw it for a second, and I'm like, I would have heard about that if that was him. And sure enough, I don't remember the product, but it had something. It was, you know, she had a screw that was literally embedded in her forehead.
Huh.
And
the guy did look familiar.
And essentially she was saying, just leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. And he leans in to kiss her and he grabs it with his mouth and yanks it out and
That's
spits
pretty
it out.
Funny.
And I thought that looked like Tommy Pope, son of a bitch. Huh. But I don't remember what product that was. So we're looking at at the playback video of it. What product? Cure Auto Insurance. Screw in the head is what it's called. So that's him, right?
Yeah. That's him.
That's totally him.
That's great.
That's really awesome.
I wonder where he, how he got that campaign.
Is that one of those spots that's local and but airs national or does not air nationally? But
no, I think it's probably
Cure Auto Insurance.
Yeah.
I don't know if Cure's a national company.
That's a good question. Not really sure. We'd have to ask Tommy.
Not unless Delco
that.
Proper bought a Super Bowl commercial.
No, every now and then advertise their show. No, every now and then in like the second. You guys remember a few years ago there was like a TH Properties commercial.
Yes,
I voiced that commercial.
Yeah, that's why I remember it. Obviously,
and it ran during the Super Bowl, and but it ran in this region. It wasn't that.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a local commercial voiced by radio personality Preston Elliott.
I recorded that at Center City Film and Video for that particular commercial.
I'm kidding.
Nick, I think you're right. It's auto insurance for Pennsylvania and New Jersey drivers.
Yeah, so it was a local spot.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
It's good exposure.
Nice. All right, well, it is come and gone.
And it stunk.
And it's in the books, and it was the lowest score of a Super Bowl ever. Actually, there was a few, they've now tied the Patriots for the most Super Bowl wins. Tom Brady's the oldest to ever win and has won more than any other quarterback. So there were a lot of historical things
happened.
Yes,
I mean, honestly, and they landed on Mars during the game.
Oh, no, they did.
No, but the score doesn't matter to anybody on the Patriots or anybody that's a Patriots fan. You know, and I was saying that to my son earlier in the weekend. I can't remember. I said, I remember I said something like, you know,
they don't care if they win 3-0.
Oh, seriously, yeah.
Yeah, that does not matter to the winning team at all.
If it were the Eagles and they won 3-0, we would be
ecstatic.
Doing
back. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know?
Winning is winning, and winning the Super Bowl is winning.
It's like Vin Diesel says in the Fast and Furious.
It doesn't matter if you win by an inch or by a mile. Win is win.
I can't do the voice, but I do remember that line.
Swallow a bubble.
What's that?
Swallow a bubble.
I got
it's called
swallow bubble.
It's not family. It's not robotic family.
An intro bow. I don't do it as well. All right. Speaking of winning, we got $1,000 burning a hole in our pocket. So I want to take a break and come back and have your opportunity to win. Today's the last day with Go Fund Yourself. And not only $1,000, but $10,000 is up for grabs. Will it be you? You can't win if you don't play, and if you don't play, you can't win. We'll get back and do that. I got Bizarre File stories, too. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic from 93.3 WMMR and Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum is Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first. It's the best lift ticket deal all year and a spectacle on snow. MMR ups our game in the prize department, including a $2,000 cash prize for overall best design, $1,000 for the coolest Captain Morgan theme. Sprint has a quick $500 for the fastest sled and a booby prize for the new category, Preston and Steve's Favorite Fail. Mandatory sled registration through February 24th. Available at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019 at Jack Frost Mountain.
Presented by Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum. Live like a captain. Join the crew. And sponsored by Sprint and JP Mascaro and Sons.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
93.3 WMMR. Philadelphia.
Go find yourself.
No, it's not a scam. We want to give you a grand. We want to fund you.
Yes, we do. Hey, we have a chance for you to win $1,000 right now. This hour's keyword in the MMR Go Fund Yourself Nationwide contest is love.
Love.
L-O-V-E. You have until 8:15 to enter it via WMMR's mobile app or at WMMR.com. And we're going to call you if you're randomly selected and you win $1,000. And everyone who enters is qualified for the $10,000 grand prize drawing. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com. Again, the word love. Good luck from Armor Metals and Recycling and WMMR.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Spent the weekend collecting some stories for you, my friend.
Nice.
I'm going to reveal those at this very moment. It's brought to you this morning by Patient First. Physicians, x-rays, lab tests, and prescription drugs. 19 medical centers conveniently located in eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey. Visit patientfirst.com for information. Well, a stroke caused a 67-year-old man to believe that it was just fine and dandy to pleasure himself without shame in front of his relatives.
Oh, my God.
I want that kind of stroke.
The bank manager's family were concerned when they noticed drastic changes in his behavior, like him spanking it in front of them.
Gampy's going to play with it now.
They took him to the hospital, as well as pleasuring himself in front of them. The relatives told doctors that he was addressing them with inappropriate sexual words.
Is someone just using a stroke as an excuse here?
No. Medics in Mostoles, Spain, conducted several tests on the unnamed man. The team found no abnormalities with his brain function and decided to then arrange a CT scan of the organ. The scan showed a 5-centimeter shadow in his frontal lobe, which they feared resembled a non-aggressive brain tumor.
There you go.
A team of doctors settled on the diagnosis of a subacute anterior cerebral artery stroke. The medics branded this stroke as being silent, one that occurs without or very little symptoms, you know, except for tugging your junk in front of your family members.
If you call that a symptom.
Over the course of the patient's one-week hospital stay, his neurological symptoms improved. They added that his relatives said that he once again became nice, judicious, prudent, thoughtful, and well-mannered.
And he stopped spanking it in front of the family?
Yes, yeah. He did. Yep.
You know what? I was literally talking to somebody on Friday night who they didn't have a stroke, but they were having a problem with their brain. They ended up having brain surgery.
Really?
But afterwards, he had to go back and make a ton of apologies to people because
he was doing stuff.
All of his inhibitions were gone. You
really?
Know? So, I mean, he was texting like, you know, people, hey, you know, send me pictures of your boobs. Really? To, like, people that he shouldn't be doing that to. Like,
I have that, too.
It was pretty wild.
That is wild.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up boobs because they are involved in the next story. The nonprofit battling the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden over a gorilla is famous for another gorilla, and that would be Coco, who learned a form of sign language, but it also has a complicated past. The Gorilla Foundation has been the target of criticism from people who say that it doesn't live up to its mission, and in 2005 was sued by two former employees who said that they were pressured to expose their breasts for Coco, who it seems did have a completely non-sexual but pervasive interest in nipples.
They were forced to flash Coco the gorilla?
Less known is that the nonprofit has been home of just two gorillas since 2000, and after Coco's death in 2018, it was left with one, a 37-year-old silverback named Ndoom.
Coco like boobies.
Which the zoo is trying to get back. A lawsuit will likely decide what happens next. The zoo has asked a judge to rule immediately and order Ndoom to sent to Cincinnati judge. Now, they heard arguments from both sides but have not yet made a ruling. The foundation says the transfer could kill Ndoom. And the zoo loaned Ndoom to the foundation in 1991 to be a mate for Coco, but he was not part of the foundation's decades-long project to promote interspecies communication. Now,
and pornography.
The Gorilla Foundation was co-founded by Francine Penny Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
Patterson, in the early 1970s, began working with one-year-old Coco to teach the gorilla sign language as part of her doctorate in psychology. Former employees described being asked to wear headsets over which they would receive instructions from Patterson as she monitored them by video from another location. The foundation faced unwelcome publicity in 2005 when two former employees said in a lawsuit that Patterson repeatedly pressured them to expose their breasts to Coco.
Jeez.
The former employees,
bizarre.
Nancy Alperin and Kendra Keller, refused to go through with it. Depositions filed in the case described how another female employee was seen lifting up her T-shirt for Coco.
Coco want you to bite lower lip.
Patterson, according to the lawsuit,
Coco want show you my ass.
Told Alpern that one's breast to Coco was a normal component to developing a personal bond with the gorilla.
Had Coco shown inquisitiveness towards this?
Yeah, very much so. The case settled out of court. Now, a guy named Safkow and others who worked at the foundation after the lawsuit was settled said Coco often asked to see their nipples. Although Safkow would do it, he said that he was never instructed or pressured by Patterson to do so, but he said, and I quote, the nipple thing was real.
Yeah. Wow, man.
That's why I brought it up.
Wow.
All right. Police officials say they identified the suspect in an incident where nude photos were sent to a 16-year-old girl because of a tattoo on the suspect's genitals. Officials say 28-year-old Joshua Lewis Hilliard was arrested during a meeting with his probation officer. The victim reportedly contacted her school safety officer saying she received unsolicited inappropriate pictures and messages from Hilliard, who is known to her. Now, the victim met Hilliard through an outreach program where he was a mentor.
Oh, boy.
Police say some of the photos that he sent through social media included a picture of his own penis, which was identified because the words fun size are tattooed on it.
Fun size? Wow. Okay. Well, I'm glad he's an idiot.
Well, he's an
extreme
idiot.
Aren't fun size usually smaller?
They are, but he's an idiot enough to where he would send. You know, I mean, you know, it's
yes.
pretty easy to identify.
Okay, so he's an idiot.
This person.
But you go with the Kano size.
During an interview with the suspect, he told investigators that he knew the victim's age, but thought the age of consent in Arizona was 16 because that is the law in Montana.
And he was working as a mentor.
And police say Hilliard is on probation out of Montana and Wyoming, but had his probations transferred to Arizona. He was reportedly on probation for burglary, fraud, and sale of dangerous drugs.
Gets worse, Preston. At one point, he dated Coco.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's just absolutely disgusting.
And this story we're going to wrap up is from Fox 29. Happened late last week. Video circulated on social media showed a man who caught fire after being tased in South Philadelphia on Friday night, right in front of Jim's Steaks. You guys see this?
No, yeah. I didn't.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Pat Tackney, who filmed the incident, said the man refused to leave Jim's Steaks and was forcibly removed by security. Footage shows two security guards using a taser on the man before his leg goes up in flames, catches on fire. It's pretty wild.
It's happened before.
It's like immediately.
Yeah.
So he wrote on Twitter, "So I witnessed a man catch fire after being tased last night. Neither Jim's nor the Philadelphia Police Department have commented on the incident as of the time that I got this story. But
all right, quick question. Would you rather be set on fire in front of Jim's or Pat's?
Probably I like Jim's.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you can run
that's
in.
The age-old question, right?
Grab a bite to eat real quick, yeah. All right, and there you go. That's what I got for you in the bizarre file this morning. We are going to take a break, right? All right, we're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Mark Summers is scheduled.
He is here.
Is he here?
He is here. He's been here since 4 a.m.
That's wonderful. We have until, or I should say you have until 8:15 to enter the word love through MMR's mobile app or at WMMR.com. We got $1,000 to give away for that. So love, once again, is the word, L-O-V-E. Good luck from Armor Metals and Recycling and WMMR. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
News. The record company. Fozzy.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thank you, Kathy. So have you ever had a dream of being dunked in chunky blue cheese dressing or something along those lines?
Yes.
Picking the gigantic nose of its slime interior. Then Double Dare Live is going to be for you at the Miriam Theater.
Yes.
March 28th and 29th. And then some other locations around the area. Ladies and gentlemen, do we have music?
Yes, we do.
Thank you. Our very good friend, Mr. Mark Summers, is here.
Yes. So happy to be back in Philadelphia.
Nice to see you.
I follow you all on the lovely internet, but it's more fun to be here.
It is, because we're so much more dazzling in person.
Oh, no question. Is that the same blue shirt you were wearing?
Absolutely. In fact, it has not been washed. I remember when you walked out, I said, I'm never washing this shirt again. It's good to see you, though.
Nice to be seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you were in Atlanta doing Double Dare in lead up to the Super Bowl. When was that taking place?
We shot that Thursday. I got there last Sunday.
Okay.
Then on opening night was Monday, where they introduced the teams and interviewed them. And then our job was to try and get them to come over and do physical challenges. Well, the Los Angeles Rams were willing to do it because they were all 23 years old. First time at the Super Bowl, you could have said, you know, stand up, roll over, bark. They do it. And then the New England Patriots wanted nothing to do.
Not so much.
No.
Yeah.
They were pretty jaded. Like, okay, yeah, you want me to do what, throw what?
Right, right.
But
it's cool that you got any traction, though, that they, you know, it's cool that they entertained it.
They were nice. And one of the players said Belichick told them they didn't want to screw around, keep your eye on the ball.
Play
a game and all that kind of, which is why they win, you know, all the time.
Is that your first time around all that activity, Super Bowl? What type of circus is that?
Oh, my God. I went to a thing called Radio Row, 250 radio stations. I did 32 interviews last Wednesday.
That sounds awful.
It was.
That just sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Well, and where do they have it? Last year was at the Mall of America for when the Eagles were in the Super Bowl.
No, this was in this convention center that went on for days in Atlanta. And I could never find myself, but the security was insane. Bomb sniffing dogs everywhere. And you'd see the same security person every hour.
Right.
And yet they'd, you know, basically make you take everything off. And, you know, so it was, those things are never fun. Okay. They're just not. People think, well, oh my God. And I didn't stay for the game. I had to go to San Francisco for some family stuff. So I left, we shot Thursday from 3 to 6, and then I was at the airport by 7:30, and I was on a plane out of there. So, and the game was semi-boring, don't you think?
Yeah, it was very boring. It was staggeringly boring, and I think that we were talking how boring it was. The commercials, nothing to talk about.
No.
It was just glacial in the way it proceeded. So, but then again, in this area, we're coming off a Super Bowl victory last year, and it's can't help but pale in comparison.
Well, let me ask you, okay, we have a couple of people in this room who are a little bit younger than me, and then we have some that are considerably younger than me, but I'm just these halftime shows, is it just me? I wanted to blow my brains out.
I'm not a fan of Maroon 5. I do appreciate Adam Levine.
Yes.
But I just think in general it was nothing.
It was nothing.
It was all right.
Big boy with the fur coat, the whole thing. I just like, please.
You know? Enough. You know what? Why don't they have dramatic readings? I think that'd be nice.
I would enjoy that.
Like a scene from Equus.
It didn't bother me that bad. You know, hip hop is not my music. So when those parts started, I was kind of like, I don't really know who these guys are, and I'm really not into the music. But The show overall didn't make me go, oh, my God, this is horrible. But some people hated it. You know?
I didn't hate it. It's just, you know, Adam Levine, with the, what's the deal with the tattoos? Good grief.
Yeah, he's tatted them up. And he's got a big California tattoo across his stomach because that's his favorite state.
Apparently so.
I've been to, like, tons and tons of Eagles games. And the halftime show that I love every single time, and they only really do it during preseason, Frisbee Dogs.
Frisbee dogs.
Yeah. And also the other one is where they have, it's the silent
auction.
Silent
drill team.
Silent drill team, Preston. Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
From the Marines. Yeah. That's impressive too.
I would like to see that.
Do you
more
remember
so
the
than
years
anything else?
They used to do gimmicky things. Do you remember the Elvises? Or do you remember the 3D where they had a halftime show where it was in 3D?
Oh, I don't remember
and you
that.
Had to go get your red and blue 3D glasses from a 7-Eleven. Do you guys remember that?
No, I don't remember
so
that.
It was a lot more. There was a little bit more stuntiness to it, and then they decided, okay, we're just going to go and put on like a big concert event.
Producing that must be incredible.
Oh, it's a freaking nightmare.
How do you do it?
Yeah,
I went 93 in Pasadena and saw Michael Jackson. And
well,
that
there
was
you
cool.
Go. Yeah.
You know, but he put on a show and he was a superstar.
My favorite thing is to watch the people that are supposed to be the audience members of the show going on down on the football field. And it's just clear that some of them have what, you know, they got their hands up there. They're all excited to be because they're. We're on TV on the Super Bowl.
Hey.
I have no idea who this person is on stage, but I'm going to act like I'm really excited.
It's Adam Levine's cousin.
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys, by the way, did you guys know that there was a concert during Fortnite on Saturday? Are you guys aware of that at all?
I heard about it.
I watched it with my son at 2 o'clock.
Maybe that's where I heard about it.
Yeah,
on your Twitter feed.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where I heard about it.
So during the video game Fortnite, they cut to a concert.
Yes. So you went to. I mean, there was a stage. Marshmello, who was this DJ guy, wears a marshmello helmet. he.
What else would he wear? A Zagnut?
He did a live concert, like where I don't know if he was in the studio somewhere, you know, spinning records or whatever. But it was to me. I thought it was actually really, really cool because you would just bring your avatar to the stage. And then at one point he says, all right, we're going to, you know, I'm going to drop this beat. When I drop this beat, everybody jump. And then the beat dropped and all the avatars started jumping. And I thought it was a.
Man, if I was into the actual game Fortnite, I'd be furious.
Really?
Because you're stopping the play to do this dumb. Right? You enjoyed it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that long. It was maybe 15 minutes or something like that.
How old is your son?
He's 11.
So he's right in that peak area.
Yeah, he was right in that sweet spot. But I thought that was kind of cool.
That they got the it was legit. It was going on. And how many avatars were on the screen at any one time?
Well, I would imagine it's just like any Fortnite game where they allow a maximum of like 99 to 100.
Did you see Mark's avatar there on there?
I did not see
So wait, avatar. I'm a little confused. Then was your son's avatar in this at the concert?
He was at, So okay. I'm sure, you know, I don't know how many people are on this game at any one point. But
Millions.
Sure that there were hundreds of thousands of different.
It holds the record for having the most players playing at the same time.
I see what you're saying, Case. Different playing fields going on at the same time.
Gotcha.
Yet they watch the same concert. That's very, very Ready Player One-esque.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's almost living it's in uncomfortably that digital world. So. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. So anyhow.
Yes, sir.
Anywho. You're doing Double Dare live, and what's that going to be like?
Well, let me tell you. We went out. The fact, once again, that the show is back on the air is insane. But once again, I was a pain in the ass and got it back. Okay. And then I said in a meeting one day, you know, we used to do this on the road. Why don't we take it back out on the road again? Thinking, well, there's nobody who's going to be able to do that and get that up in the time.
Right.
Well, I did 15 cities in the fall. We sold them all out, and so now I'm leaving on a 60-city tour.
60 oh cities!
I'm doing 60 cities.
It's unreal.
It's ridiculous.
You must be
man.
Excited and dreading it at the same time.
I was excited. I was nervous when we went out initially, the 15 cities. I thought, does anybody care? And by the way, when they tried to sell it initially, nobody wanted it.
Right.
So we started off in Lynchburg, Virginia or something. Then the next night, we were in Louisville. So that was like an 11-hour drive on a bus. And then the next night, we were in Charlotte. Well, couldn't have somebody booked to Charlotte on the way, you know, so we were all over the place on the bus, and word of mouth just kept picking up. And the next thing I know, people are saying, well, why aren't you here? Why aren't you here? So they came to me and said.
So who's booking it? Who's
a guy I met years ago when we were doing the original tour, Charlie Blum, who ran a theater called the Star Theater in Maryville, Indiana. And I've stayed close with Charlie for years. And we said, do you think we can get anybody to do this? And we found a guy in Texas who put up the money. And son of a gun, what can I tell you? So yeah, we're playing two nights here because, let's face it, this is where it all started.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about it. So tickets are on sale. And I think this show will be unique because Robin is still traveling with me, which is great.
That's awesome.
I called Harvey the other night. He's going to come out.
Great.
I've got a lot of people online saying, hey, I was on the show. So if you're on the show, you got to come, first of all, because I want to hear those stories. And although they like to keep these things to like 90 minutes, 2 hours, it could be a longer show because I want to see everybody.
It'll be like a Springsteen concert.
That's exactly what I want to do here. You know?
Yeah.
So we're on a Thursday and Friday night, 28, 29. And
that's awesome.
The scary one is we're playing the Hulu Theater at Madison Square Garden on April 3rd.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. You know, so I've been wanting to keep it like 3,500.
Yeah.
You know, that's a 5,500 seater. I used to sell a 16,000 seated place, but I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Mark, your perspective and appreciation of Double Dare, has it changed over the years?
It has changed dramatically, and especially in this tour. I had no idea what this show meant to people in a particular generation. And now because the second generation is getting on board, the moms and dads who grew up watching it now have kids the same age they were when they discovered. So
Did you resent it or hate it for a while? Or?
I had a period of time. We finished the show. We started in 86. We went to about 94. And then I was kiddie show host Mark Summers, and I couldn't sort of grow to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of yes. But now I appreciate it more than ever.
Do you think your brief stint in pornography was actually
– well, that may have slowed it down a little bit, yeah. That didn't work. The weird thing to me is we do a meet and greet before people. Yeah, well, it's, you know, I'm a Jewish guy. What do you want? Those are all true facts. But nonetheless, we do a meet and greet where people pay extra money to take pictures. And we have grown-ups who come. Moms and dads, or two guys, or two women, or whatever.
That's awesome.
And I say, well, where are the kids? Oh, hell, we left the kids at home. We just came here to have fun. Yeah.
You know what I have to say also, if you stop and think about it, because the Goldbergs episode with the Double Dare has aired, now in syndication, airs frequently.
Oh, I get the checks all the time.
And
I know.
You get the whole deal. Now you're getting, because that show is just massively popular, especially here. It's a thrill. But
huge.
Across the country, it's huge for ABC, and now they have Schooled, the spinoff.
Yep.
So Double Dare is back in the lexicon. And so I assume that that's helping foster some new fandom.
You know, it's a nostalgia tour in many ways. You know, I'm sort of like Herman's Hermits. I'm Peter Noon. You know
you're
what I
mean? Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits.
There's a reference
Mrs.
for you.
Mrs. Brown, you've got
a lovely daughter. But nonetheless, it's kind of become that, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to have it, you know.
No, why the hell not? You know, it's funny because I'm looking, as I look at the new show, and they you know, you're on the... You're revered now. You're the beloved creator host, but you're not. You know the center. You have that. I forget her name. She's wonderful.
Liza Koshy.
Yep. So she's
adorable.
Yep. She's totally adorable. But the tech and the level of set execution and prop execution is on another level.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so you had nothing like that on the first go around.
Oh no, we had cups and marshmallows. You know?
Right. Hey, are you pulling people out of the audience to be the contestants?
Oh,
is
like,
that how it's working?
Yeah, we draw a boatload of people out of the audience. So that's the other thing is you know, when you come in total in Act One, we take about 40 people from the audience.
That's good.
Yeah, in Act Two, we open up. We do musical pies. We have 10 people in that, and then we pick families to come up and play the actual game and run an obstacle course, and we give away, you know, the money is if you win the obstacle course, you win $1,000, you know.
So as the structure goes, are you incorporating new games as you proceed along the tour, or?
It depends on what I feel like that night.
exactly. You know, let's use a gun tonight.
Well, you know, I rehearse, and certain things I have to stay, like,
sure,
depending on what's going on in the night, I screw around and
right.
It's fun, and Robin just laughs. She has to leave the stage half the time because I'm screwing with all of them. So it's just fun. You know, I can't, you know, we can't do what we do at Dunkel Dare, needless to say, because I have 6-year-olds in the audience, mm-hmm. but I push it as far as I can. We have had requests to go to casinos and sit down for a week or two and do an adult version of this.
Nothing like,
wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
That was Mark.
That's Dunkel Dare.
Yeah. Hit it again, please.
Shut the f*** up!
Somebody was.
Your kiddos.
People were shouting out the answers. It just laid down the.
Laying down the law.
Every time so I do great. That, my wife goes, yeah, real nice, Mr. Duffy.
You have to work the room. The way,
you do.
The game is not going to come off if people are interrupting. They don't realize that.
No, but, you know, I can play to family audiences, and then I can do that.
Shut the F up, you'll
see. Yes, yes.
You won't use the actual word.
No, no.
This is really cool, though.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I hope you all come and have fun and, you know.
I'm gonna come out to this go-around because we've...
If we don't have an event, there's an event tentatively on our schedule. Because I put this on my schedule. I really wanted to come.
What do you have going on?
It's just an entire show event.
That's where we're shooting our porn movie.
Oh, well, listen, there's one in Lancaster, March 26th.
Yeah, that's our
Newark, which we probably won't make
that's
up
sold
to.
Out.
That's sold out.
Sold
really?
Out.
Wow. Okay. All right. So several shows. Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're selling all over. You got to get your tickets soon because you don't want to get the night before and find out.
It's so cool to see it reach this level because this was just the stuff of like, why aren't they doing it? Why isn't Nickelodeon supporting this? And now, you know, they took the bite of the apple and it's off and running. So where does this proceed to? I mean, you're obviously the vast majority of your time is consumed with this. What about the culinary side of your endeavors? Anything going on there?
I have not had time to do anything. You know, for Robert Irvin, they're bringing back Restaurant Impossible.
Yeah.
They're only doing four episodes initially, see if they like it. But I have nothing to do with it this time because there's just no time.
Yeah.
I'm on the road constantly. About 60% of the Philadelphia team is out doing it. They've shot three of them. And I've been in touch with everybody, and it's going really well. And we'll see if, with a couple years off the air, if that works.
Right before we went to London, Mark was there right before us.
Yes.
And I was following him on Instagram, and he's posting all these different restaurants. I'm like, ooh.
There's the guy at.
That's the guy. Yeah,
did you go to my...
Yeah, I went. There was a restaurant we went to for dinner that he highly recommended. It was phenomenal.
I love that place.
Excellent. Yeah.
And you said when you walked in, the guy said, you know what a friend of mine in Mark Summers. That son of a bitch.
Hey, Mark, how is everything in California post-fires and the neighborhood and everything like that?
Our neighborhood evacuated again on Friday.
Oh, wow. Christ.
Yes. I've been out so much because my home is actually in Santa Barbara, and it's insane what's going on there because all the vegetation still obviously hasn't grown back yet.
Yeah.
And every time we have these tremendous rains, it just comes down. There's a video that's insane a block away from
there's nothing to stop it.
There's
no undergrowth to stop it from cascading down. So you're always dealing with that.
Always dealing with it. And luckily where we are, it kind of goes around us, but our neighbors aren't quite so lucky. So
is Oprah across the street?
Oprah is across the street, yeah.
So if you had to go over and hang out at Oprah's, would she let you?
Let me just tell you, when I moved there,
yeah,
you know me, I have a huge gonads, okay? So
gonads.
I know where her house is, and I have her address, yeah, okay? Yeah. So I wrote her a letter. Dear Oprah, I don't know if you remember me, but I've done your show several times. And I sent pictures when I was on the show with her.
Yeah.
And I said, in case you need a cup of sugar or, you know, something to borrow.
So she was moving into your neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, right. And I said, and I heard you throw great parties. My wife and I, Alice, would love to. And I FedExed it to her. I could walk across and hand it to her. But I FedExed it to her. And my wife thought, you're out of your freaking mind. Now, I have not heard from her as of yet.
Right.
But I figured if you don't ask, you don't get.
Sure.
So maybe someday.
Someday, yeah.
How long ago was that?
2 years.
Okay.
You haven't seen her out mowing the lawn or anything?
I saw her once.
On a rider mower?
No, she was just walking in her back 40, you know.
How about those Rams?
How about those Rams? But, you know, she's really involved with the community in that when they did this year anniversary for all the people whose homes were destroyed and people passed away, she was walking in the march with the candles and all that kind of stuff. I mean, she's part of the community big time. And every time you go to dinner somewhere around there, Jeff Daniels I saw.
We love Jeff Daniels.
Carol Burnett one night.
Do you ever speak with them? Or you don't want to interrupt. I'm sure you don't want to be show host.
I almost went up to Carol because I want to say, you know, I was a page on, Carol Burnett's show. And I figured, well, she doesn't care, you know.
Why don't you introduce yourself as Anthony Hopkins? Right? Why not?
Yeah.
Well, Oprah, it's Anthony Hopkins from Silence of the Lambs.
That's a great idea.
Why not?
Why not?
You know? I mean,
I'm going to think about that next time.
If you're Oprah, do you risk pissing off Anthony Hopkins?
Oh, that's great.
Wow, I thought you were British.
I know. Those people don't want to be bothered by a guy like me. Come on.
I would imagine communities like that, the rule of thumb is obviously that's why they're in communities
exactly.
like
Nobody,
that. They want their...
Yeah. Like, I heard that Paul McCartney bought a place up there. I heard Steve Martin. I've never seen these people. You know who lives up there? Peter Noon.
Oh, Hermits, Hermits. What is that? It's a 100-acre estate, right?
That's right. And he's got a lovely daughter.
Hey, lucky daughter.
So this show, the Double Dare Live at the Merriam Theater, is not till March. What are you doing in town? It's at the end of March. What are you doing in town right now?
I came in for my lovely six-month cancer checkup.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You always kind of sync it up. How's everything going?
Everything's going fantastic. I feel good. So I'm over to University of Pennsylvania Hospital. If you're going to come by, we'll sign autographs today.
What do they have to do for a checkup?
First thing, they take blood, uh-huh. And then he feels lovely parts of my body to make sure there's no lumpy things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I skip out of there. You know, hopefully that it's all good. I'm having dinner with Mr. Jarek tonight.
Cool.
There you go.
Love good old him. Mikey.
He does a quite often. He'll do a little foodie segment on the news. And,
yeah.
There's a guy who loves to eat, but
yeah.
he keeps his, you know, slight frame, but he's...
I don't know how he keeps that
yeah.
frame. He looks like a million... I turned on this morning. The man looks like $1 million. He's older than I am.
Yeah.
How the hell does he look like
By the
that?
Way, I remember him years ago on a sci-fi show that... And I used to love it. It was like a science fiction auction show.
Really?
And he would auction off, like, phasers from the set of Star Trek. It was on the sci-fi network.
What? I thought everything he did. I didn't know
his
that
hair
one.
Was, I think, completely, like, gray or whatever at that point. And he was a great host. I thought he had a good sense of humor. It was fun. But he looks completely physically the same.
He does.
The hair is just a different color.
He's one of these guys, you know, when they used to make me dye my hair on Food Network. I used to hate it because it looked like I was wearing a raccoon.
Really?
On my, oh, yeah, yeah. They tell you, you can't have gray hair on this thing. So
why not?
Oh, I don't know. It was so stupid.
Yeah.
And certain men went, like me, I looked like somebody took an orange crayon or something. It just looked like crap. But Jarek looks like, I don't know who does it. It's amazing the way his hair looks.
Thinking about dyeing my beard again.
No!
Yeah, I found some dye. I'm allergic. I have an allergy to hair dyes because look at my hair versus my beard. They don't match at all. I have a gray beard and I have dark hair. And it just, I keep seeing it.
I think you can
curtains
use...
don't match the drapes.
No, and his pubes are in dreads.
They're red.
I think you
know
you
that
can,
how?
You can use one of those, like, vegetable dyes. I bet you that works.
But let me ask you, would I look stupid after all these years of having a gray beard and then going, like, with a dark color?
I remember you as having a dark, well, actually, were you dyeing your hair at that point?
Yeah, initially I did, because my beard has always grown in gray ever since I started to grow facial hair.
Can you bleach your face so that the beard appears darker?
Probably could. I could probably do that.
But you're one of those lucky guys. Your hair looks fantastic.
Thank you.
And you have it there. But why does the beard come out crazy?
I don't know. I can't figure it out.
That's so weird.
So they used to make you do that? That was part of your...
part of my contract.
It was. So it wasn't suggested.
Oh, no. I had to do it.
Oh, my God.
How old are you right now?
I'm 67.
You look much more, you look, listen, you look youthful. Yeah. You do. And I don't read that. You're gray. Your hair is not... what I consider old man, wispy sort of hair.
No, and
it just looks like
energy,
a color.
And I'm as immature as ever, so it all works.
You're picking huge noses on stage.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You look at what your job is.
Think about this.
Your job is to bother Oprah.
Well, I think we should all send her like a joint.
Do you want to?
Let's just send her a joint. No, but let's send her
a... just send her a joint. Oh, my God, he's a pusher.
No, we should write a letter and you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what
you
we'd
know,
ask
we were we've a while ago we should revisit it at some point.
Yeah.
You know, I think a huge Mark Summers statue at LAX, don't you think?
No. You know, you'll love this. You'll love this.
Yes.
So I had a meeting with Nick Loding. I said, you know, look, this is cool that I'm back. And this is really sort of amazing. I can't believe this is actually happening.
Despite you idiots.
No. They're fantastic. So then I said, you know, there's one thing that I really wanted. And it's more for my family than for me. And they said, what's that? And I said, you know, I'd like to get a star in the Walk of Fame.
We were talking about that.
We talked about that one part. Yeah. But I said, you know, people half my age who haven't done as much as I've done get... And they kind of looked and they said, well, SpongeBob is ahead of you. I said, wait a minute. I put that network on the map. Some cartoon character gets his...
Yeah, wow.
We're gonna, you know. So
after that, do funds need to be raised?
Yeah,
for that?
Gotta,
it's like 30 grand, I think.
Is that
it
how
is.
Much it is?
Yeah,
you got to raise. You got to raise money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And normally it's a PR thing where, you know, if you're going to promote a show like Double Dare, you say, hey, you know, it's back for the 100th time or whatever, mm-hmm. and you think they'd write the check, but no, SpongeBob is supposed to. Well, I understand now
the death of the creator.
Yeah, and he was on the Super Bowl last night.
Mm-hmm.
However, without me, there would be no SpongeBob.
It's true, and you are at the corner of what was a wave of pop culture that mm-hmm. you know was permeated the 80s and now continues. So I'll So is that a hard yes or a maybe after the SpongeBob thing?
No, I got no response, you know. And so, you know, my dear friend Bobby Flay, I went to his, that was cool. Guy Fieri's getting one, you know. These guys are all nice. Seacrest got one.
Do you know what happens is that, as you say, whenever you see them getting a star, you see any celebrity getting a star, it's usually tied to a movie premiere or something that's happening of some import.
And I guess it's not that important, but I think, you know, it would be nice for my family at some point. You know, I remember Gary Collins when I did Our Magazine.
Gary Collins. Remember Gary Collins? Yeah, absolutely.
And it was a PR thing.
Was he married to Marianne Mobley?
Yes, Marianne Mobley. And I remember the day after the ceremony, I went to a joke store and bought fake dog poop and put it on and took a picture. I said, Gary, I walked by your star this morning. You know.
But Gary was sort of, Gary Collins was a very buttoned down.
Yes.
He seemed like a nice guy.
Sweetest man in the world. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah.
God.
Well, listen, you got to put this on the calendar, but you're saying it's selling out like crazy.
Yeah,
so
you know,
people should get these now.
Get the Thursday night better seats as of now. Friday night's going pretty damn quick.
We have a conflict, Kathy, you said?
We might have an event in AC. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
It's not
all right.
Yet.
Let me know. It'll be awesome. So we'll do something on stage. We'll play. We'll have fun.
All right.
We'll bring you all up and do a massive physical challenge.
Oh, that'd be great.
Everybody except Casey.
Fine by me.
He's done it.
Yeah. We can't ever top that.
No.
I still have nightmares.
He's a game show host now and a proctologist as a result.
You had the best line, Mark. So Casey was dropping golf balls out of his butt into a bucket, and they made this funk sound when they went in, and you just go, that sound will haunt my dreams.
I don't remember.
Honestly, that was all kinds of that's an HR nightmare, that thing we did.
We could never do that again, I don't think.
We could.
Maybe not this building.
What's going on in this building? They cleaned the couch. Now, I said something last time I was here that, you know, so the couch was clean.
We're getting a proper green room because what's happening is our sister station down on the third floor is coming up here. Everything's coming together on the fourth. We're staying here, but everything's sort of coming into this one floor. And they're actually building out this window. They're building an atrium to the building.
Yeah, so there's a lot of construction going on here.
That's out there. I can't believe it.
It's crazy, yeah.
Also, the couch is clean. I think maybe Marissa might have just wiped it down for you.
Really?
Because you commented last time.
Well,
maybe.
How come there's no hookers in here anymore? I hear somebody giving massages.
It was the Super Bowl. They were really busy last night.
Really? Come back on Friday.
Oh, man. We did away with Pimpin' Mondays.
Doggone it, man. I
know.
The wrong
It'll game. Be back. It'll be back.
Okay, fine.
Well, listen, Mark is going to be at the Double Dare Live event at the Miriam Theater. It's March 28th and 29th. And
so cool.
You'll love this. Texas says there's no effing way Mark is 67. Damn, he looks awesome.
There you go.
Thank you.
So go and see for yourself, but get the tickets now at KimmelCenter.org. And they will indeed go very, very quickly. So, man, it's great to see you.
Always good to see you
Thank
guys.
You so much for being here.
You be well.
Love him. Mark Summers, guys. Yay! Mark Summers. We are going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment. And we are going to have Stephen Merchant in our studio, one of the co-creators.
Love him.
Of The Office. And lots of great roles as well, promoting Fighting With My Family. We'll tell you more about that when we return. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Choose to love in any language with a Valentine's Day spa package from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations and give the gift of relaxation this Valentine's Day.
Steven Singer is re-releasing exclusive 24-karat gold dip rose colors just for you. If you missed out on a color, here's your chance to add it to her collection. Check out all the available colors at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I have a dumb question. So we have a... Steven Merchant, by the way, will be here in just a couple of minutes. Director and producer of Fighting With My Family. Been a lot of great shows and movies, so we're going to talk to him in a minute. But when you go to see an animated film?
Yes.
Do you find it distracting if you know who the voices are ahead of time and you kind of forget that character and think about who's saying the voice? Because the reason I ask is I went to see Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
And I didn't look to see who the voices were. And I didn't pay attention to it in the movie. And then after the movie, I went and looked up and I was like, oh, Haley Steinfeld is one of the voices. Or, Mahershala Ali was one of the voices, and I didn't know it. I found it kind of refreshing, to be honest.
Well, did it did Toy Story 2, was it less interesting because you knew it was Tom Hanks? Or
oh, no, no, yeah, not
so,
at all.
So I think in some cases...
But I had already bought on those characters.
Yeah, you know, I think it can help if you don't, if you can, you know...
It bothers me.
It does?
Because I'll recognize the voice, and if I don't know who it is, it drives me crazy trying to figure out who it is. So I like to know who it is going
okay.
into it.
All right. I thought the choice of Nick Nolte for Tinkerbell was a little distracting.
It was off.
I'm a fairy.
I try, Kathy, like you, to figure it out, and if I can't, it just sticks with me the entire movie, and then it bothers me, and then I just get distracted by that.
There was one voice that was very, very obvious in Spider-Verse. Immediately, I knew who it was.
Dick Cheney?
No, Nicolas Cage.
Ah.
And I was like, oh. Well,
he's a big comic book guy.
Really cool. But it wasn't Dick Cheney, no. I don't know. I didn't read all the credits. Maybe Dick Cheney was in there and I had no idea. Maybe he played one of the
characters. I do whatever a spider can.
Chris Pratt plays two different characters in the Lego movie that's coming out. He plays the same character from the first movie, and he also plays a hybrid of the Guardians of the Galaxy character.
Speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, sorry to interrupt, my buddy Will had, when he went to see that movie, he didn't know that Bradley Cooper was Rocket.
You can't tell.
And you can't tell. But then when he eventually did find out, then he couldn't not stop listening for little hints of Bradley Cooper while watching the movie.
You'd be hard-pressed to find Bradley Cooper tones in Rocket.
Very little.
It's a fully realized character.
Yep.
Though sometimes, and people say, well... You know, these cartoon actors or these voice actors, you know, they're being squeezed or kept out of jobs that would benefit them. But the truth of the matter is that a lot of these actors are really good at what they do. I mean, him as Rocket, Bradley Cooper,
perfect.
Is sensational.
Yeah.
You know, that's so there you go. But Into the Spider-Verse, raves?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it more than I thought I was going to, which was that's always an awesome surprise.
Yes.
So yeah, I give it a thumbs up. And Steve, you'll love it. I know we were both hesitant. Marvel, you know, cinematic universe. I don't want to go see a cartoon about that. You know what I mean?
Though that's what we were raised on.
I know exactly. Mm-hmm.
We're so complex.
As soon as it got started, I'm like, I'm on board. This is great.
Yeah.
All the way around. All right, we have our next guest in the studio just arrived. We are happy to welcome him here, and he's promoting Fighting With My Family, which is coming out on the 22nd. He is a director and producer of the
film.
And
writer.
And writer as well, and one of the co-creators of The Office. And let's just welcome him.
A ton of stuff.
Stephen Merchant is here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Stephen, good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
For being here. Oh, yeah, we're happy to have you in.
Are we live?
We are live. Sir.
Yes. I just wanted to check because I get very foul-mouthed in this time of morning.
Well, you're a veteran of radio. You've been on radio.
I love radio.
And you love radio. And in fact, even while you were achieving success with TV shows and so on and so forth, you returned because you loved it. You know, we were over in England for an Eagles game. They're playing over there, the football team here. But radio is... while it's the same, there are differences. And have you noticed dramatic differences? Or what were the differences between American radio?
One of the great pleasures of radio, as you know, is that you don't need to dress up.
Or
shave or even put pants on in the morning.
Yes.
You can just stagger in.
Showers are optional.
Showers are very much optional. And also what I love about it is it's very immediate, right? You can say something now, you can get responses immediately on the text on the Twitter. It feels much more interactive. It feels conversational. I already feel like I know you guys, like we're having a beer in the pub. You know, TV and film and everything, it's all just so much more laborious.
That's
just takes so long to get anything done.
It's funny, Stephen, because at the beginning stages of when I was going to school for communications, and I always wanted to do something comedy-based, and TV and film, that's going to be it. TV and film, that's going to be it. And then just by sort of a circuitous way, ended up doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And then radio, and... I said, well, that's kind of the same vibe between stand-up and radio. Instead, as you said, that immediacy. And you started in stand-up as well.
I did. I'd always wanted to do it. All my heroes were stand-up comics.
Right.
I built myself up psychologically to do it for the first time at university. I was psyched up. I had my little five-minute act.
Yes.
And then it was cancelled. The gig was cancelled. And then I lost my nerve like a fighter pilot who'd been shot down. And I didn't go back to it. I didn't ever try it again for another 2 or 3 years.
Right.
First show I did in Bristol, where my hometown in Bristol in England, killed. Crushed it.
Yes.
I thought, well, this is easy. Following show, died on my arse. Sorry.
No, you can say arse.
And that was largely the experience then I had for many years. It was just either kind of dizzying highs or crushing lows. And it was a really... It's tough. It's really tough.
It's a good sort of... way to develop skill sets.
And a thick skin.
And
right?
a thick skin. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I've become sort of impervious to, I'm sure, the wealth of criticism that could be levied against me. But the truth of the matter is that it's a good way to learn.
I had someone actually shout once, "Taxi for the comedian," which I thought was just like I didn't know that people actually said that. I thought it was just a myth.
You know that, yeah. Well, there
and
you
I think
go.
Largely the rest of the crowd agreed. I think some of them were calling an Uber. I mean, it was
right.
Really...
when they're all together on it, it's a little deflating.
Yeah.
Well, we want to delve into some of your career as an actor and doing what you've done, but obviously you're here to promote a film, Fighting With My Family.
Yeah.
And nice having Dwayne Johnson on board.
It's always nice having Dwayne involved in any capacity of your life. Yes.
Yeah. Did you work with him on Tooth Fairy?
Yes, I did a film called Tooth Fairy. You're welcome.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
There you go. Yeah. How old were you at the time?
I have kids.
I just had my voice.
I have kids, and so I'm required to watch some of their programming from time
to time. It's amazing how if you have kids, there's a whole other avenue of movies and TV, right, that you're exposed to that, you know.
Oh, there was some sort of witch magic show that just... season 2 came out on Friday on Prime, and I had for 4 hours just sat there
and you don't even remember what it was called. It's just some weird magic witch show.
Yep.
So this project is based on a there was a documentary, I think, it aired in 2012.
So Dwayne, right? As I call him, he
yeah, you're allowed to.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He was in England. He was filming Fast and Furious 6.
Right.
And he was in a hotel room. He couldn't sleep one night. And he saw on British TV this documentary about this real-life family of British wrestlers. Mum, dad, all the kids wrestle.
Yeah.
And they play to kind of tiny little provincial half-filled theatres in England. And Dwayne, coming from a wrestling family, kind of responded to them and actually ended up becoming loosely involved in their lives. And basically, the family dream was to get their two teenage kids into WWE, as you can imagine, the big leagues of wrestling. But only the daughter got signed. She became later known as Paige. She went off to WWE, and at the age of 18, 4,000 miles from home, I had to train. Brother got left behind. It sounds like it's a dark and heavy story. It's actually a very fun, ultimately, I think, very uplifting, and it's appropriate that I'm in Philadelphia. Quite a sort of rocky underdog story at the core of it.
Well, it's funny because we have the wrestlers come through here quite often, and every one of them, to a person, a man, woman, well, it doesn't matter, their abilities as showmen they're just exemplary. They're really good. They come with stories. They're charismatic. And also to see what kind of family creates somebody, because I'm familiar with Paige and the whole thing, is kind of interesting. But all the reviews and everyone says it has that heartwarming edge to it. And it's a bizarre thing that a family business is this wrestling.
Well, it was when Dwayne sent it to me, DJ, when he sent it to me.
I'm DJ now.
Yeah. I sort of Rocky.
Within this interview, you became more familiar with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's be honest. He actually makes me call him Mr. Johnson. But for the purposes of this interview, DJ sent it to me, and I thought, wrestling. Because I didn't know anything about wrestling. I wasn't interested. And I sort of sat there. I thought, well, I better watch it because it's The Rock, you know, and you do what he says. And I was really charmed by this family. I love their passion for this crazy thing called wrestling, that they talk about it, how it sort of it saved them from darker times. The dad, Ricky, had been in and out of jail when he was young. And, I was in and out of jail. And his wife, Julia, says, mainly violence. They had tough times in the past, and wrestling, kind of like the way that alcoholics will talk about Jesus, kind of really saved their lives.
It was, they're saving issues.
But so in the end, I realized this is not really a story about wrestling in the way that I'd argue Rocky's not really about boxing, right? It's about this kid and these dreams he has.
It's a love story.
It is a love story, absolutely. Yeah. And so I didn't approach this as a wrestling movie. It's a story about a family and their dreams, and this girl having to live this family dream, both for herself and for her family.
And to see her brother fail at what he wanted equally as much.
Right. Because there's many, many sports movies, as it were, about exceptional people, but actually many of people just get left behind.
Yeah,
right? And
how
what do you do then? How do you pick yourself up when you've been told no?
No, it's a great, it's a classic sort of dynamic.
Right.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of press, Stephen, about this movie, and I saw that you sat down with DJ and were interviewed by Kevin Smith. And I'm wondering what the interview process is like when Kevin Smith is doing the interviewing, because he's very verbose, and when you ask him a question, he can talk for a half hour. Is the interview like that with Kevin as well, or does he allow you guys to talk?
I really liked Kevin. I'd never been
interviewed by him before, but he was great. But yes, when you when you're with DJ, you you know he's got the fastest, he's got the most the tightest schedule I've ever known, the tightest abs and the tightest schedule of anyone I've ever met.
Go hand in hand,
and it's you've got that 7 minute window with him, and yeah, Kevin's first question was about 6 minutes.
We've had him on the show. He didn't have much time for any answers. Kevin's KS, as we call him, is a friend of the show.
I call him Smitty. Really, Smitty KS. Yeah. Like,
well, we know him well,
but he. He is such a fan of this stuff and such a genre fan. And he interviewed you at Sundance as well, is where the film premiered.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you because...
Well, his best question, can I just...
His best question
was, if you were making a biopic, because it's obviously a real-life story, if you were making a real story and you were acting in it, you were starring in it, who would you make the life story of? And I'd never been asked that question before. And I realized that the person I would want to make a movie about is this guy called David Prowse.
David Prowse
was inside Darth Vader, right? But of course, famously, James Earl Jones did the voice. David Prowse is from my neck of the woods in England. He's got the same accent as me. Now, when you hear me speaking, you think, my God, that guy sounds so sophisticated. He sounds like Hugh Grant. If you were English, you'd know I sound very provincial and a kind of yokely.
Right.
And so David Prowse has the same voice. And so... So the legend goes, he didn't know they had revoiced him with James Earl Jones until the premiere.
That's true.
And he sits there and he's watching it. And of course, he's been on set doing all the, all right, Luke, I'm your father, me old babber. Come and have a drink, mate. And gets there, and then James Earl Jones is doing that amazing voice, and apparently, obviously, devastated. So,
well, he's actually if you want to see him what he really looks like, if you watch In Clockwork Orange, there's a house where they attack in the beginning the Droogs, and then they go back later, and he has this bodybuilder living with him, and that bodybuilder is David Prowse.
Yeah, I admit I was hoping none of you knew what he looked like. I'm not the perfect physical fit.
He looks a lot like DJ.
He's basically the voice, and DJ will do the body.
Well, you could always bulk up. You know, one of those incredible transformations. So when you were shooting the actual wrestling sequences. Rumor has it you did it at the Staples Center after a Raw event. Is that correct?
Yes, we had 1 hour, very gracious of the WWE, given they're involved with the movie, to give us 1 hour after a Monday Night Raw telecast.
Requires a lot of planning, I'm sure, when you're trying to knock off scene after scene after scene.
Right, well, we wanted to recreate this giant match, and obviously we couldn't afford 20,000 extras, and so they kept these 20,000 fans back. We invited them to stay. We didn't just lock the doors and start rolling
the
cameras.
That's a fire hazard.
But Dwayne came down and sort of emceed the event, and we only had that 1 hour, and I said to him, I mean, if you've never seen Dwayne in front of a wrestling crowd, it's insane. I mean, people go crazy. It's like Elvis has come back. So I said, please, just keep it tight. Go out, explain what we're doing. Get off. He goes out there, just 20 minutes on the mic. He's ad-libbing, he's making jokes, and I'm like, the clock's ticking, we haven't got much time to film. And I'm the only person who's ever been screaming to Dwayne Johnson to get out of a wrestling ring.
But is there something to we've all been to the events, and wrestling was not my thing initially. When you realize what they're going for, and the self-knowing tone, and the whole thing, and the audience adulation, and you go to an actual event, there's nothing like
it. It's really, really fun. It is unique. I, like I say, I had never been. Dwayne took me to WrestleMania. No big deal. And he came out, and he came out with a flamethrower and set foot to a 10-foot sign of his name, and he milked that for 10 minutes before he said a word.
Wow,
and
that's
the crowd were screaming the whole time. It is extraordinary. But then the athleticism, the showmanship, it's really, really fun. But I would emphasize the movie, if you don't like wrestling, as I did not when I started this project, you will enjoy it anyway. It's really not just for the wrestling
fan. Right.
It's
Stephen Merchant is with us, and Fighting With My Family is a movie we're talking about. It's in theaters on February 22nd. I want to talk about your acting roles real quick. And one... that I was not aware that it was you until afterwards, but and with now the Academy Awards coming up and Black Panther is starting to win awards and is up for Best Picture, you were in a movie that we had said could have
and should have
had that barrier been broken down of allowing these action and especially superhero movies.
You mean Tooth Fairy?
To maybe be Tooth Fairy.
Exactly.
No, to be taken a little more seriously was Logan, obviously, and you played Caliban in that. Which was this horrible, but he was a broken, sad character, there was so much drama in that. Tell us a little bit about that film and that character and playing
that. He was a giant albino mutant. It was typecasting.
And, but very muscular.
Yes, very thin, kind of very pale. So there's a picture of him right there.
Yeah.
If you don't remember, I kind of almost look like that famous, the way that death is portrayed in the Seventh Seal, right?
Max von Sydow.
That's right, the kind of bald head.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Well, the same one.
It's a rip-off.
But yeah, in fact, when I had that makeup on, obviously Marvel won't let you leave the set, but I wanted to just, like, go down to a funeral home and just say, I'm here for my 4 o'clock.
Yeah. Show me what you
have. Or just go to an old people's home and just stand in the garden just pointing.
Oh, my God.
Just mouthing, "You're next."
That would have been awesome.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Was that part yours, or did you have to audition for it?
No, I auditioned, and James Mangold, the director, was incredible, and kind of, I've never had an audition like it, because he's so intense, and he said, stand up, sit down, hold this, take your glasses off. I can't see anything, I'm flapping around. It was a really kind of really interactive audition, but yeah, I mean, let's be honest, I don't think there's any other pale-faced 6'7" guys working in Hollywood. I think it was a shoo-in that I get the role.
Well,
really.
They can do a lot with effects these days.
Yeah, but
so
I think they didn't have
guaranteed.
The budget for CGI, so they came to me.
But your inherent, I think, your heart, you felt sympathy for this character, mm-hmm. and Logan was just such a departure and such a cool way to go. You know, to be that
and it was a hard R.
They went after.
Well, I thought it was going to be too bleak for people. I was surprised at the response and how much people responded to it, because I really thought, oh, this is very extreme and almost depressing, because we were in that mode of the Marvel movies being a lot more lighthearted and kind of fun and jokey, and suddenly along comes this thing with, you know, lots of death and
it was a home run. We have to ask a bit about, because we're all huge fans of The Office.
Yeah,
and obviously you met Ricky Gervais during radio.
Like, okay. I say, my first love, and I joined a radio station in England that was just setting up, and right. he was working there behind the scenes. He wasn't even on the air, which was
a slight
misuse of him.
Oh my God!
But he was actually an office. I mean,
I sent my resume in, and I think. He's a very lazy man, and I think it was on the top of the pile, right. and he thought this guy'd be fine.
Right.
And he called me up, and we hit it off almost immediately.
That's
and,
great.
Unfortunately, the radio station launched the day after Princess Diana died. So, as you can imagine, no one was really in the mood for a sort of alternative rock station with an irreverent sense of humor. So it took a while to kind of gather momentum after that.
Yeah.
But eventually we went on the air, and that was when things started to click for us. And off we went, really.
That's and so your relationship with him, and obviously the things you've done together are great. And Idiot Abroad is one of our favorites. Whose concept was that?
Well, that was one of those situations again, and I don't want to speak to anyone in this room, but we did radio, and we got given a producer, and he wasn't supposed to speak, and we just asked him a question one day on the air, and his answer was insane.
Yeah.
And we thought, wait a minute, there's an untapped goldmine here. And Carl was that guy, and we would start asking him questions. And I remember the first sort of sign was he was telling a story about growing up, and he was talking away. Da, 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 da. Anyway, in the house next door, the people who live next door, they're the ones who had a horse that they kept in the living room. Anyway, and he moved on. And we're wait, what?
Right.
There was a horse that lived in the living room?
Yeah.
And the stuff which we thought was interesting was not the stuff he thought was fascinating.
And so, somebody not interested at all in traveling.
Not interested in traveling. And then eventually we started sending him to these other countries.
So he's really like that.
He's 100% like that.
It's a fascinating show. I mean, it's a fish out of water kind of a show, and you send him around the world, but his responses to those situations are great.
Well, that's it. And he just has a very natural instinctive reaction. Like, he goes to the Great Wall of China, and he's like, this is not a great wall. It's a fine wall. I wouldn't say it's a great wall. You know, and they're just such instinctive, natural responses.
Yeah. And it's not, you can tell it's, so, you know, you can tell when things are just padded and but that, it seems to be an innate response of his to these various scenarios.
He just doesn't think what he's saying. So you'll just be talking to him. I remember one of the early times we were on the air, and he said, what are those things in that movie Gremlins called? Gremlins, Carl. The clue's in the title.
That's great.
We had that with a guy who was like, oh, you remember that game where you would operate on the guy? And
Operation. It involves doing an operation.
Yes.
But he's sweet. You root for Carl in an idiot. Yeah. And you, so you end up caring well, about
no
this
malice.
Idiot.
There's no malice. Exactly. So yeah. He'll say these things, and they're not intended
right.
to be malicious or sure. just ignorant, yes. really, you know?
Stephen, we had said when teasing the fact that you were going to be here that there's one bit that we had to bring up to you that we reference many times over the years, and I'll just say one phrase to you, and it should bring it right to your mind, which is, I've got full-blown AIDS.
Sure.
Liam Neeson teaching yes. him improvisational comedy
right.
is just golden. Just absolutely golden. Yeah. You guys had to have been stifling laughter the whole time.
Oh, it's impossible to get through that.
And yeah. to know that you hit pay dirt, because you could ask someone to do that. Neeson had to have a bit of the skill to do it.
Of course.
And to know how to stay in his lane, because that could fail miserably, but it's a home run.
I met him on a talk show,
yeah.
and he said, oh, I like what you guys do. And then whenever someone said that, we would leap on them immediately. I don't mean physically, but right. you know, we would contact them immediately and say, well, you said you like the show, so can you do something with us? And, you know, and we had this idea of, sort of someone very serious-minded who wants to try and get into comedy. And
right.
the idea of Neeson being that person, I mean, a man that you know,
yeah.
aside from many things from Schindler's List,
yeah.
kind of wanting to get into comedy. And there's nothing about Liam Neeson's on-screen
right.
character right, that suggests he's a funny man, although Nothing. He's a very warm, humorous man in real life. But so, I mean, it was unbelievable.
It's just great. I have to ask if this is fake movie lore, but were you part of the Beauty and the Beast film? Was there a cameo that you were involved in that yes. was excised from the film?
That's right. They made a live action Beauty and the Beast.
Right, which I loved, by the way. I thought it was a wonderful, wonderful film.
And the joke was that Mike, at the end, everyone comes, they get turned back from the things they've been turned into, right? So there's right. a teapot and all the rest of it, and they get turned back into their real lives. And the joke was that I was just soaking wet, and I'd been turned into the toilet. And it just cuts to me, and I'm just there. And I think I was improvising. I was just going, the horror. The horror.
That would have been great.
Which I thought would be, I guess Disney felt that it yeah. wasn't appropriate.
That you were the toilet.
Yeah.
It would have been great. Because yeah. you do think in Beauty and the Beast, it's all things that are the pleasant, like a,
right.
you know, wonderful little...
Like a grandfather clock
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. The wardrobe or whatever, that's all great, but not the toilet. Not, like a bidet would have been... Right. Yeah, right. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so they cut me out.
So so with this, how much of the promotion, and I know you're out pushing the film, how much traveling, you know... How long does this run for you?
Well, I came from Sundance, then to Houston, and then I've been to Chicago. We actually landed the day of the polar vortex.
Oh, oh wow. Man.
That's pretty intense.
We know that it can get cold over in England, but even for here is a level
of... Oh, it was... I have never known cold like it.
Yeah.
It was... And it goes... I think it says a lot about how passionate I am about this movie right. that I was willing to go to that
right.
to celebrate this film. Also, I'm contractually obliged. But it was... Yeah, it was...
Yeah,
it was intense.
As awesome. Well.
Had you ever worked with Nick Frost before?
I hadn't. I love Nick Frost though. He's so funny.
We've had him in the studio a couple of times. Mm-hmm. He is. He's hilarious. He's really talented. And for people who don't know, who does he play in this movie?
So he plays the father, Ricky. Nick is. Because the real guy is funny, but he's also got a great warmth to him. You were talking about Carl, and I think yes. Nick has that as well innately. But at the times, he's tough. You know, like I say, he's a guy in real life who did prison time early on in his life. And Nick not only kind of has a physical resemblance, but also loves wrestling. So he was one of the few people, aside from Dwayne, on the production who actually already had a pre-existing passion for it. And he was excited because he got to jump around in the ring.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. He's actually physically pretty adroit.
He's great. Yeah.
There's a couple of movies where he's done the last in the trilogy with...
Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. The last film.
Yeah.
World's End. Yeah.
Right, yeah, well, yes. So there's a ton of fighting
and
in
great
that.
At doing that kind of the pratfalls yeah. and the physical stuff, yeah.
Did he have to geek out a little bit with Dwayne about wrestling?
They actually only met at Sundance.
No, okay.
First time. Yeah, they were in scenes together.
Are you a wrestling fan? Or did you grow up?
I am now. I never understood it when I was growing up.
You weren't into the British Bulldogs?
Well, you see, now, when I was growing up in the late 70s, early 80s, my grandfather used to watch British wrestling. And British wrestling was huge in the 70s. But let me tell you, if you've never seen, there was a guy called Big Daddy. There was a guy called Giant Haystacks. These were just really tall, fat men.
Okay.
That was all they did. They had no athleticism. They would just bump bellies and people would go crazy. And it was, and I remember being a fan of Big Daddy. I'd never even seen him wrestle. He was an icon.
Yeah.
And so, but I used to watch, my granddad would watch it and I'd walk in and be like, what is going on? I didn't understand what it was. So I never got into the groove of it. There he is.
It's in fact, in the earlier days of wrestling here, when it was big in the 50s on television, that you would have guys like this. But the truth of the matter is it morphed. You had these incredibly, imposing, muscular guys. But at that time, you had people who had, like, written for the Conan O'Brien show were being paid to write these. And I remember checking it out occasionally and going, well, that's a little sharper than I thought this was.
Like you said, there's a humor to it, and there's a knowingness to it.
Right.
And there's a real showmanship. I mean, it's someone described it as being like soap opera in spandex.
That's really what it
really
is.
Made sense to me then. I think once you tune into that, and it has a great sense of humor. So people forget.
Oh, you have Lena
Headey in
the film. Yes, mm-hmm. She's the mom. Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
Look, as far as she's concerned, yes. I haven't seen Game of Thrones. I don't. I know people love it, but I'm not into dragons. What can I tell you?
Okay. It's not your thing.
So I know it's more than dragons. Yeah. I know it's more than that.
It is. And the whole first season doesn't even really touch on that. It's really sexy.
It's mostly wrestling, actually.
It's mainly wrestling.
Well, the mountain's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. We have him in here from that series. I don't know if you're familiar with this guy.
She's phenomenal.
She's great. Yeah. Well, everyone, I mean, because the stuff I have seen is obviously she's this kind of quite ice queeny character, right?
And this is completely antithetical to that, right?
In fact, she very sweetly auditioned for me because she was very passionate about being involved with the project. But I did not know if she was the right fit from what people had told me, what I'd seen of Game of Thrones. But she just killed it. She crushed
it. Wow. Yeah. Excellent.
Well, reaction's been great. And the reviews are awesome. And they're, you know, they do, you know, your much known sharp sensibility, your comedic ability, but it's touching, and that's what they're
It is. It's a very uplifting, I think, inspiring.
Yeah.
As I say, Rocky style underdog story.
There you go.
February 22nd, Fighting With My Family is hitting theaters, and thanks for coming by because we're fans of you.
Likewise,
and,
I really enjoy myself, guys.
Really happy to have you in here. Stephen Merchant,
yes!
Thanks for being here. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Whether you've got an Amazon Echo, Spot, or Dot, make sure you first enable the MMR skill. Alexa, enable MMR. Once you do, it's easy as pie to listen to MMR's live stream, the Preston and Steve Daily Podcast, or the Bizarre Files. Your wish is our command with simple voice-activated access to WMMR. Alexa, open MMR.
I got some more stories from the B-File. Let's do them.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Patient First Physicians, X-rays, lab tests, and prescription drugs. 19 medical centers conveniently located in eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey. Visit patientfirst.com. Okay, it's pretty messed up.
All right, I like messed up. Is it good messed up and fun messed up?
No.
It's bad messed up.
a burglar in the UK who broke into a funeral parlor before having sex with a corpse has been jailed for 6 years.
Oh, man. Okay, so what's the bad part here?
No!
God almighty, can you imagine that?
No, I can't. Kasim Karam,
K-H-U-R-U-M.
Forced his way into a Central England co-op funeral care parlor before violating a body. The court heard how he lifted the lids of several coffins inside the funeral home before choosing his victim. Another body was found face down while seven other coffins were also disturbed. Police said at the sentencing that Karam's actions offended all human sensibility. Karam, who had been drinking vodka and smoking an artificial form of cannabis, told officers, "I bet you think I've been shagging them, don't you?"
Yeah, that's what we actually do.
Yeah. So the victim's family wept as they heard the details of what he did to the bodies of their loved ones, but they really they stuck it to him. He's getting 6 years in jail for that, but that's just
still seems kind of light.
Insanely disturbing. So we'll move on to something else.
Yeah, please.
How about this one? This one's, it's not as gross as that, but it's certainly disturbing. The fire chief for Woodlawn Fire Company in South Whitehall was recently charged with pulling a gun on a 12-year-old Boy Scout who had placed a flyer for a food drive on the door of his home.
Oh, my God.
James.
Not so fast, you son of a bitch.
James R. Cutts told police that he believed that the boy was attempting to enter his home. Police spoke to the boy and another scout, who both said a man later identified his cuts, followed the boy to another home, pulled a gun, and ordered the boy to the ground.
What's your name, punk?
Cuts, who is also captain with the Allentown Fire Department, was charged with simple assault and harassment. He was arraigned and released on $25,000 unsecured bond. According to court records, the caller told police that she was reporting a possible attempted burglary and said her husband was fighting with the suspect, who later fled in a sport utility vehicle with an unknown driver. When police arrived at the home, they noticed a Boy Scouts of America flyer for a food drive on the front door of the home. Cuts told police he and his wife were in the living room of his home when he heard a rattle on the door handle of his storm door.
Hand me my gun. There's a dwarf in a suit out there.
His wife looked outside and saw a male on the front porch. When they looked at each other, the male ran off. A short time later, police received a call from the Scoutmaster with Troop 8, who said the Boy Scouts were the ones distributing door flyers.
How dare you invite my participation in a food drive?
In the neighborhood, he identified the boy, and police spoke to the boy's mother. The mother told police the son had a gun pulled on him. The boy said that he was on the driveway of the second house when a man started yelling at him and ordered him to get on the ground. The boy said the man was holding a gun. The boy said that he did what the man said, and then he left when his father showed up. The boy said at the time of the incident, he was wearing his uniform, but it was under his jacket, but he had a reflective safety vest and a scout hat with a headlamp on it.
On the plus side, he earned his dealing with a dickhead badge.
I mean, come on, people.
What's this guy's problem? Does he have a history?
He's a Girl Scout.
Down. I don't know, but he's an idiot. All right, moving on. A worker had an interesting run-in with a household pet during a routine visit at a home last month. A meter reader left a note on the steps of a house last week informing the tenants that he tried to gain access to the electricity meter for a routine reading, but had been denied access by one of the residents. Now, this is according to a printed note that was left.
All right.
It said, Energex called today. That's the name of the energy company. To obtain a meter reading, but was unable to access the electricity meter because. And then beneath the automated statement was a list of reasons why an employee may not be able to adequately complete their job. For instance, the premises may be locked up,
yeah.
A gate can't be opened, or an unrestrained dog threatens the safety of the worker. Instead, he had checked a box labeled unsure if dog restrained, scratched out the word dog, and replaced it with the word chicken.
Right. There was a chicken?
He then explained the aggressive chicken had, in fact, quote, tried to peck me, emphasizing his dismay with a hand-drawn emoji.
Clearly you don't understand the demeanor of most common chickens. They're benevolent creatures until agitated. You could have read the meter with no issue.
Gene Simmons, resident.
And chicken fan.
Chicken expert.
Chicken fancier.
The fancier. The bemused owner of the territorial chicken arrived home to the note and did the only thing they could, given the situation, and that is posted on Reddit.
Shot a Boy Scout.
They wrote, my chicken just roams in my backyard. Apparently, he thought it was a big bird. The note was an instant hit, receiving about 18,000 upvotes and more than 419 comments in less than 24 hours. The resident also claimed their local postman doesn't actually want to deliver my parcels either due to their chicken's aggressive behavior. In lieu of a guard dog, this chicken sounds pretty proactive in protecting his family. And Reddit users commented that, indeed, chickens can be pretty nasty if you piss them off. So,
well, yeah, I guess.
They're territorial. They want you to get out of there.
Is that so wrong?
I guess not. Let's see. We'll end with something. I have some terrible stories. Let me get something that's not so terrible if we're going to wrap up with. How about this is all right. That's kind of a scary one. But we can
go with it.
No, I like this one better. Police say a man drove through a Florida airport fence and onto an active runway. Police said the 21-year-old Zane Alexander Carlson was arrested Wednesday at Pensacola International Airport on suspicion of trespassing and criminal mischief. Now, Carlson drove through a fence onto an active runway and then into a grassy area where he started doing donuts in his car. Police said Carlson then drove into an open hangar where he continued to drive in circles until police arrived.
We guess what I get to do.
I guess he really had a donut.
Guess what I get to do.
Guess what I get to do.
Police did not know what motivated Carlson to drive through the airport fence.
I'm guessing drugs.
He's being held on $15,000 bail, but he is a fan of doing donuts in his car.
Oh, he looks like a winner. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. I just got a mug shot here. There you go. I don't know. He looks like he's put makeup on his cheeks, on his face, yeah, or something like that.
Like battle paint.
All right. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file this morning. All right, let's take another break. When we return, and I've been just told this moments ago, we've got some show announcements to make. Yeah, three of them all together, actually. So we'll come back in a moment. We'll do the lesson question, the trash, and then music news along with those announcements. So don't go too far. It's some info you may want to know. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
We're going to do today's lesson question, and we're going to give away a $50 cash card from Sergeant Scrap. And the question that I am going to ask you is this. If and when he ever gets to hang out with Oprah, how should Mark Summers introduce himself? As who?
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. If and when he ever gets to hang out with Oprah, how should Mark Summers introduce himself? As who? Okay. 215-263-WMMR. If you were listening, then good chance you know the answer. Call in. If you weren't listening, then good chance you don't know the answer. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Dunkin'. This Valentine's Day, stop by Dunkin' and get heart-shaped, bling-sprinkled, and cookie dough and brownie batter double-filled donuts. Preston and Steve run on Dunkin'. Limited time offer. Participation may vary. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, prior to last night's Super Bowl, players for the Rams received an official warning from authorities to beef up security at their homes while they were in Atlanta. In fact, many of the team members even went a step further, posting the names and addresses of local movie stars who are away on location.
Oh, my God.
Rapper Blueface. Preston, I know you're a huge Blueface fan. Arrested for gun possession in L.A. on Friday evening, Blueface has since issued a statement apologizing to his fans, and most especially to all the other Smurfs. And finally, Pete Davidson and Kate Beckinsale cementing rumors that they're an item when the two were spotted after one of Davidson's shows in West Hollywood. In a related story, a huge contract for a tell-all book was just signed by Davidson's penis.
No.
This is Hollywood Trash.
Speaking of rappers, Steve, 2 Chainz had a commercial last
night. 2 Chainz had a commercial. You had, who was it? Who else was in the...
Chance the Rapper.
Chance the Rapper.
He was in
with
one
the
of them.
Lil Jon.
Lil Jon and Cardi B.
All of them.
God. Great days indeed.
Yeah. We're going to see if we can get an answer to the lesson question. If and when he ever gets to hang out with Oprah, how should Mark Summers introduce himself? And I'm going to go to Doreen. Hello there, Doreen.
Hi, how are you guys?
Wonderful. Doreen, who should Mark introduce himself as to Oprah?
Anthony Hopkins.
Yes! Yay! Anthony Hopkins. Yeah. Hang
Hold on
a second, Doreen. We have for you a $50 cash card. Sergeant Scrap is the Delaware Valley's original mobile scrap metal service company. Don't get fooled by copycat scrap companies. Don't take crap for your scrap. Visit sgt-scrap.com. Let's do this music news segment.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah! All right, brought to you by Patient First, Physicians, X-rays, lab tests, and prescription drugs. 19 medical centers conveniently located in eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey. Visit Patient First. .com. So, Foo Fighters were joined on stage by Prophets of Rage guitarist Tom Morello and also country star Zac Brown at the band's pre-Super Bowl concert that took place on Saturday night in Atlanta.
Huh.
And they played a cover of Black Sabbath's War Pigs. Foo Fighters and Morello and Brown were then joined by Perry Farrell for a rendition of Jane's Addiction's Mountain Song. That's all pretty cool. Other guests included Queen's Roger Taylor, who played drums during a rendition of his band's Under Pressure. And also saxophonist Dave Koz got up there, too. Frontman Dave Grohl told the crowd at the show, I don't know when y'all are going to see us again, but you will, because we're too effing old to break up. It's like your grandparents getting divorced. It's not going to effing happen. Dave and the Foods reportedly had pizza delivered to fans who were waiting online for 24 hours before the doors opened.
That's a cool move.
For the Saturday night show. He always thinks of stuff like that to do.
Sent out two large pies.
Dave previously joined Brown.
Double cut, though.
Double cut.
And his Zac Brown Band mid-set during their show at the Tabernacle in Atlanta on Thursday for a version of Metallica's Enter Sandman. So a lot of music in Atlanta over the weekend. Hell Yeah has released what appears to be a snippet of a brand new song from the band's upcoming album. The LP will mark the group's final effort with drummer Vinnie Paul Abbott. Of course, he passed away in June of last year at the age of 54 from heart disease. He reportedly completed his drum tracks for the new LP before his death. A release date has yet to be determined for the new Hell Yeah album, which will follow up 2016's Undeniable. And it's a hit cover version of Phil Collins' I Don't Care Anymore.
There is some validity to that, though. The big thing now in architecture is the unden.
Oh. Well, no, the way the title is UNDEN exclamation point, ABLE, undeniable.
Sometimes
I is an exclamation point.
I find those cute little things annoying.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're in public and you say dead mouse.
Yeah, dead mouse, that happens.
And you don't know how they intended it.
Hell Yeah singer Chad Gray returned to the stage for the first time since Abbott's death when he showed up on last week's annual Ship-Rocked cruise aboard the Carnival Valor ship. Gray turned up twice during the cruise, jamming alongside Korn guitarist Brian Head Welch.
So the rock cruises are a big thing. I wonder if they're going to start rock flights. Where
you're just on a plane together,
right? From New York to L.A. and I don't know. Winger plays live on the right.
Well, listen. I had a question about that. How many people do you fit on a cruise ship? Is it like...
Is this a trick question?
No, I'm just wondering.
The larger ones, I think around 3,000 people.
3,000 people.
That may be... I may be way off. I don't know, but that's what I
think they vary.
Okay. So I don't know how hard it would be to plan one of those things out, but don't you think like MMR could do like an MMR cruise where, you know, each day part booked...
Its own ocean liner?
No, but you like, so like we would have like comedians or something like that, and then maybe Pierre would have like the Hooters and
like a full cruise
review, and then
hey, I like it. Think
something,
big.
Something along those lines.
Yeah.
I just don't know how hard it is to plan that.
I have to assume it's incredibly
easy. I don't feel like doing
it. I always like the band on the boat. I mean, that's a much smaller version of it, but we just cruise up and down the Delaware, and those were fun.
That sounds like
I don't know how hard it is. I don't know how you do it, but I just don't want to do it.
He's an idea man.
You guys remember, we actually refined it to the point for the band on the boat where we actually just stayed docked.
Yeah, we were still on a boat, technically.
Yes. Yeah.
And we just didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
It was USS New Jersey, man.
We did do one. Yeah, we did his finger 11, I think, on the New Jersey.
Maybe.
But we did one down in the cruise terminal, and that.
Yeah, I was on that one too.
Yeah, that didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
They should make the New Jersey go up and down the Delaware too.
I don't know. We got about a meeting in an hour and a half. You want to bring it up?
I'm going to bring it up there because I think we could probably do it and even, you know, depart out of New York or Baltimore or something like that.
I don't think that's difficult, and I don't think it's unrealistic to say we could have it all together by the end of next week.
Hey, remember how quickly we did the dumpster pool? We did that in the morning.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. It's the same thing, except you have a ship, an entire staff, all sorts of booking and ticket sales.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Green Day frontman Billy Joe Armstrong shared his thoughts on the band's breakout third album, Dookie, in honor of the LP's 25th anniversary on Friday. The 1994 release was the trio's major label debut, selling more than 20 million copies worldwide. It was incredible how much that took off. And spawning five hit singles, including Longview, Basket Case, Welcome to Paradise, She, and When I Come Around, were all on that album. Armstrong wrote on Instagram, random thoughts of gratitude for the 25-year anniversary of the Big D. We wanted to think of something special to do, but we couldn't quite come up with anything. Maybe play the record in its entirety at the pyramids in Egypt, or jam it at Machu Picchu, exclusive in Vigiano. Never quite came to fruition, but never despair. 2019 still has some time.
I have a good idea.
Go ahead.
Bring it aboard the MMR cruise.
I could do that. He also shared some memories of that time in the band's career, writing, driving my old Ford Fairlane, hearing Longview on the radio for the first time, having a lot of uncertainty about our future, but not giving an S. wanting and dreading to be a rock star, if that's possible, local punk scene backlash, stress. You have to have gratitude for the band and the ugly two. I'm sorry, for the bad and the ugly two. I hope that people keep listening because we'll keep playing.
Do you remember the first time you and I heard ourselves on the radio at the record store?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Pretty special.
It was very difficult to pull off because we're actually on the radio at the same time.
It was this weird loop.
Yeah.
Armstrong hinted to fans on Instagram in December that he's writing new Green Day songs but did not share any more details. Proving once again that no venue is too large or small to promote the brand, Kiss will appear today on The Price is Right.
That's right.
Really?
Yep. Metalinjection.net posted the band was part of a prize where the contestant bid on tickets to a show in Louisville, Kentucky.
I'm going to say $11,254. Lock it in.
Kiss, who are currently on...
Well, all right. The Ski-Doo is about $1,000. The end table, I'm going to say $250. The year's supply of Fancy Feast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Dyson vacuum cleaner, about $500. The portable carport, $250. And the all expense paid trip to Legoland.
Yeah.
$300. Yeah. So my final estimate is $42,261.
I'm afraid you've overbid, Gene.
God damn it. Mm, yeah. This is rigged.
Mm-hmm.
Give me my chickens and I'm getting out of here.
Imagine how excited he'd be if they played Plinko.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So anyhow,
I feel like an Appalachian climber.
What was the name of that game?
It wasn't Appalachian. It was a...
Like, was it Everest or Himalayan or...
No, I thought it was the Alps.
Was it the Alps?
The Alpine climber?
It was the Alpine climber.
I think it was Alpine. So, see if you can...
Yeah, yeah.
If you could find that on your Wikipedia.
Nickopedia.
Nickopedia.
Thank you, Gene. So anyhow, Kiss, who are currently on their mammoth end of the road final tour, taped the episode back in December 3rd to help promote the trek that plays tonight in Spokane, Washington at Spokane Arena. What happened to my music? Oh, there
it is. The hell happened?
There it is.
I wasn't looking for that.
And watch for me tonight on Ancient Aliens.
It's called Cliffhanger. The name of the game is Cliffhanger. I believe.
Yeah.
There's also a movie with
Stallone. With Sylvester Stallone and John Lithgow.
That's right.
Yeah, Rooker's in it.
And Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker.
In it too. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. From Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. Yondu.
Yondu.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So it's called Cliffhanger?
Yeah.
I guess.
He never once hangs from the clip. He merely skis up it.
Yeah, and then
falls.
He falls off if you don't guess correctly.
There's no hanging involved. He's falling to his death.
That's true.
Why is he wearing shorts? It's so cold up there.
Well, Sylvester Stallone wore a wife beater in Cliffhanger.
All right, good point, Gene.
It's all relative. Some people have a good thermal core. Like Sylvester Stallone.
Like chickens.
Like chickens.
Yeah.
Incredible in the deep freeze.
Yeah.
Little known fact that if you freeze a chicken, it will die.
Oh, little known fact. The Price is Right airs weekdays on CBS. Check your local listings for stations.
I haven't seen the regular Price is Right in a long time.
Dornbos was there last week, I think.
I saw that.
On it?
Yeah. Yeah, what was going on with that?
I don't know. I just, he grammed out or tweeted out.
He was making his career disappear.
No, he's still crushing it, man.
He is. He absolutely.
All right. And then finally, I have three announcements for you. MMR is excited to announce this show. It will be at Skyline Stage at The Man.
Ooh.
Tuesday, July 9th, and MMR is excited about Sublime and Rome coming to Philadelphia.
Nice.
So
that's a winner, that show. That bill, it always works.
Tickets are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. So once again, that's Tuesday, July 9th at The Man on the Skyline Stage. All right, so that's show number one.
Wow.
MMR is also excited about this one. This show will be at BB&T Pavilion Friday, August 30th, and it's Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh!
Wow. This is not Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Featuring Warren Zevon.
Lynyrd Skynyrd and Warren Zevon. No. They will have Hank Williams Jr. playing with them. BB&T Pavilion Friday, August 30th. And tickets are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. And Jackson is going to have tickets all week to give away to that show. So Lynyrd Skynyrd. Next show to announce. And this is not a music show. But MMR is excited about a third Trevor Noah show.
Oh, they added another show.
To dear old Captain Noah.
Love it.
Send today. Send right away.
Captain Trevor Noah.
To dear old Captain Noah.
Come to Philly for a show at the Met on Friday, May 3rd, 2019. So Friday, May 3rd at 10 p.m. And it says late show of his first night in town. What does that mean?
That's the code.
It might be the last show.
Late show of his nice for a town.
It's got to be last show of his first night in town.
Turd.
They loved it, right, Casey?
They did.
The Water Croc people.
Casey had a little flub on Friday and was trying to say, "Have you heard?"
Have you heard?
Turd at the beginning of a Water Croc commercial.
Yeah. The first thing I say is turd.
Okay. Trevor Noah, that is May 3rd. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. So all three of these shows go on sale.
Gus, that's great news.
Ticketmaster.
Isn't it?
Isn't it? And I have even greater news.
You do? What?
Free Music Monday.
Yeah!
And I have a digital download of Feral Roots, a new album from Rival Sons, which we can set you up with. 215-263-WMMR. Out now. From Atlantic Records. Man, I love this song.
Really good.
This is a great tune right here. But let's set you up with that. Call number 10, 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to give you that digital download from Rival Sons. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second, get ready to wrap the whole thing up. Stay with us.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
We have a new Daily Rush video. It is Kathy's Dreamcatcher and Manthi's Alexa.
Oh.
I remember the Dreamcatcher thing. Kathy, that was so funny.
She hates him.
So stupid.
They're stupid.
They are.
So the description says, so make sure that you buy her one for Christmas. Also, Alexa gets a new voice. You can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar.
I saw, real quick, Rodney after that, after we talked about the dream catchers, and like, he was just so sweet, and he was like, they're supposed to catch bad dreams. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I felt
that's
bad.
What it's supposed to do.
I don't care.
Thank you to Mark Summer.
Yay!
Mark is so great. Double Dare Live is coming to town. Miriam Theater, March 28th and 29th. You can get tickets at KimmelCenter.org. It's selling out all over the country.
Why wouldn't it?
He said initially they were going to do something like 15 dates, something like that, and he wasn't sure. They started selling out, and now he has 61 dates, 61 cities.
61 cities, and doing it, and they're selling out all over the place. You know, you forget, we were talking casually before we went on the air with him, Preston, and we were talking about Muhammad Ali, because you're wearing a Cassius Clay shirt today.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, he's a great guy. I met him a couple times. Like, you freaking met Muhammad Ali!
Yeah, he's encountered a whole lot of people in his time. So thanks, Mark, for being here. That was cool. And how great was Stephen Merchant?
Yeah. Love him. So good.
Writer and director of Fighting With My Family, which is in theaters February 22nd. But he was co-writer on The Office, and he was in the movie Logan as Caliban, and a lot of other things that you've seen him and that he's contributed to. And he's a radio fan, too. He started in radio.
He actually did a music show, went back after the Office had already become a success. And went to his local radio station and would do like a 3-hour new music show.
That's great.
Yeah, loved it.
So cool to have Stephen Merchant by today. Returning from his weekend of rest is Pierre Robert in our studio. How are you doing?
Zappa, zappa, cool.
Yeah, man.
Nice.
It's so bizarre that it's lovely outside.
Right? Yes.
I can't quite wrap my head around it.
But we came through a really energy-sucking cold, and this is actually – you start to actually feel like you're coming back to life. And,
there's hope.
That there's hope. Yeah, it feels like hope. Mm-hmm. Warmth feels like hope.
Hope is alive again. Yeah. But, we can't count on this. This is a temporary reprieve. because we're going to dip again, are we not?
We'll believe so by the time we get into the weekend. But I didn't see anything as low as, like, you know, height, you know, the teens being the high.
I think
it'll be more seasonable this weekend.
If we can just finesse through the winter. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
just
I totally like, that's
we, all we you need start to do. Speak in hushed tones.
Yeah. See,
just finesse through the winter, you know, a little bit here and there, and then get to the... Now, Punxsutawney Phil, supposedly an early spring.
Yeah.
That would be so nice.
I just, I think of right now as, my seasons are really like, all right, when's the next awesome movie coming out?
Yeah.
And,
but you know what it is.
And I know what it is. And I got great news for you guys because we're going to have a Captain Marvel screening.
Oh,
yeah.
1 month from tomorrow.
Nice.
Wow.
And it's a short month, too.
That's cool.
Man. Yes.
What day of the week will that be?
It'll be a Tuesday.
Do you know which theater?
It'll be UA King of Prussia.
Okay. Yes. Do you know what time?
Probably. Yeah, I'll let you know right now.
I need to know these things.
You're putting it in your calendar right now.
Put it in the calendar now. It'll be 7:30 at the UA King of Prussia.
Okay, we can do that.
We'll start giveaways maybe sometime later this week or early next week. Ooh. But I just saw that. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I don't even care what the weather's like anymore, you know, because that's coming
up. There's no weather inside.
Mm-hmm.
Little things that give you hope.
Yep.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt here, but looking after we hit 60 degrees on Friday, then it goes 36, 38, 43, 44. So then we start getting seasonable.
Yes.
You know, in the 40s. But what we need is, you know, the day before March 1st, it needs to get really cold.
Brutally cold.
So we can have the
a nice nor'easter and a blizzard would really help, too.
Cardboard classic.
Seasonable is reasonable.
Exactly.
That is my new slogan.
I like it.
But you're right, because the other day I was saying, well, you know, something about this line of thinking, and a few texts came in, but if it was too warm, we couldn't have the Cardboard Classic. And I go, good point, citizen.
Yes, no, we get the season that we're due and owed without any incredible excesses. That'd be nice.
Right. Seasonable is reasonable.
Seasonable is reasonable.
Now, the other thing is, it was Groundhog's Day, and I don't know if you guys listened to the station or happened to tune in, but it was... Bill and Kevin and Eric and Chuck and the programming crew came up with this really funny idea. And every song was repeated on Saturday.
Yeah, I heard.
So, if you heard Stairway to Heaven, it would end and you'd hear Stairway to Heaven again.
Wow.
You know, whatever song was playing got a second treatment and no one said anything about it, which was one of the funnier parts because none of the DJs said, did I just play that twice? Because the old saying is, that sounds so nice, I'm going to play it twice.
Right.
And once in a while, it's fun to do that. In this particular case, it was done all day long, a la Groundhog Day, and no one referenced it on the air. So it may have been very confusing for the listener.
I wonder how people received it. I don't know.
I didn't see the text or hear the calls, but I did hear the broadcast, and it was hysterical because you'd hear a song twice, and all you'd hear is, that was blankety blank, and now let's do blankety blank. And,
well, you know, they're running Groundhog Day as part of a marathon. I think A&E does it. I watched it once or twice.
Over and over.
Yeah, a lot of Christmas Story, yeah. It's great.
That's cool.
There you go.
Well, we got a new prize. I haven't even mentioned it yet. Why don't we get the letter, and then I'll reveal what the prize is. You ready, man?
Okay, yes.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
G is in Groundhog.
And how about this? A trip for two to the set of The Walking Dead in Atlanta.
Whoa!
And that includes two nights hotel airfare from Philly to Atlanta, ground transportation in Atlanta, The Walking Dead prize pack, and tickets to Party with the Undead.
Wow.
TV's number one show, The Walking Dead, returns with a terrifying new threat this Sunday. I didn't know it comes back this Sunday.
Coming back this Sunday, and you remember what was happening towards the end of the last...
I do.
It's, you know what I'm saying?
February 10th, and it'll be 9 o'clock, 8 central on AMC. Must be at least 18 years of age. Enter, click contest, WMMR.com for complete details and contest rules. So that's a great prize to give away this week, and we'll do that very thing. What do you have on your show today?
I thank you for asking. It's our last day of Go Fund Yourself, so one more opportunity twice with me, and one more opportunity twice with Jackson to win $1,000. Those will be at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. with me, 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. with Jackson. Then I have several things to give away. I have tickets for Nick Mason of Pink Floyd, the drummer of Pink Floyd. He'll be coming to town with a show he's calling Saucerful of Secrets, referencing a title of a very early Pink Floyd album. And he'll be playing all kinds of Pink Floyd music April 20th at the Met. So I've got a pair of tickets to that show. I have got tickets for the Philly Home Show And I've got Rival Sons, the digital download that you guys were talking about earlier, plus Workforce Blocks of the great Alice Cooper for his birthday today, Offspring and the Kinks for Dave Davies' birthday yesterday of that band, and the vinyl cut. I think it's a full day of broadcast fun.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Enjoyable. All right. Let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show, and also Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. And also Armor Metals and Recycling for all your metal and computer recycling needs. Tomorrow on our program, somebody's getting a tattoo. I know that.
Yay.
And we'll see what else is coming up. All right. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. I can't even watch porno anymore. All I see is a watch.
Next message.
Turd is the word. Turd is the word. Turd, turd, turd. Turd is the word.
Next message.
To the driver that missed both exits on I-95 to pick me up. And now I'm late for work. And they have a no-late policy. I might get fired. I hate you, John.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.